The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spankervision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday here at Gillette, warming up a little. It's a balmy 19 degrees.
It is amazing how much warmer it does seem outside.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel warm right now.
No, in here it's always cold.
Plus, I think I've contracted something.
Well, that could be anything. Anyway, so
I'm
we're getting
really
ready.
Good here.
It's that much closer to a Saturday showdown against the Colts.
Saturday
showdown. 8:15 at Prime Stadium.
Time.
Everyone's
Are you
excited.
Feeling any better about this game?
I feel the exact same way I did when we found out it was going to be the Colts.
I just want to clarify, you are mentally prepared to lose. You seem to be.
I'm bordering on it, but I'm not.
Yeah, we got an email wondering how Andy and I could be so confident in you are, not that you're not confident that they're going to win, but more...
more realistic.
More realistic, okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And... the person that emailed was scared.
He's not necessarily more realistic.
I've watched...
We can be right. If they go out and they take care of business and are never really in jeopardy, then we were the ones who were more realistic.
I've watched the whole season.
But wouldn't you say that that would be abnormal based on what we've seen out of the 2013 Patriots?
Not necessarily.
They really haven't done that to anybody but Baltimore.
Right.
And even that game was 20-7 with 4 minutes
Steelers
left.
Too.
You know, I've watched 16 games now. And I
all year he means they're called the Patriots games.
I've seen them struggle against much lesser teams. And with the state of health of the team, I don't see how I can be that confident that they'll win.
Well, the state of health I think is a little better, isn't it? You know, not the guys that are gone. The guys that are gone are just gone. But the secondary, you know, they're all out there practicing.
I mean, I don't know. Do you really?
Well, I think. You're right. I don't know a million percent, but I think they're as healthy as they're going to be for the most part. You know, you had a week off for Mankins. He's going to be out there. So he'll be better than he was the last time we saw him. He's had treatment. He'll have the shots. He'll have whatever. I think their health for who they are right now, the 53, is decent.
Yeah. I mean,
I think the Colts are also banged up, and I don't think they're as strong as they were probably when they were posting their impressive wins. Now, they were able to beat Kansas City last week, obviously with a miracle comeback that I'm not taking away from. That was an incredible performance. But I'm not sure that it's the same personnel that beat, say, Denver and Seattle and San Francisco. I think a lot of those guys are not around.
No, they're not. But, I've seen the Patriots struggle against lesser teams. I don't think the Patriots are that dynamo this year that we've come to expect that – you know, when they have a team that they should beat, they beat them.
Yeah. I get it.
For the most part, they've beaten them, just not pretty.
Right.
Not
and
easy.
A play here or there, and they don't beat
them.
They
win those games.
You know, so I look at this game the same way I've looked at that I've seen all the other games go, as it's going to be a struggle.
See, you know what should worry you? I feel about this game the way I felt about the Baltimore game for Baltimore. I feel like everything I pretty much look at, I give the edge, either strong or slight, to the Patriots. Like,
yeah, but
everything I look at.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the Patriots run the ball well over the last couple of weeks. They don't stop the run. They're not a good run defense, and their nose tackle is taking
right.
rest days.
I hear what you're
like,
saying.
Everything I look at.
How did that work out for the Ravens?
Well, that's why I said it should worry you, but I feel pretty confident about the Patriots' chances in this matchup with
yep.
this team on this Saturday night here at Gillette Stadium. Like, I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they compare favorably to any. I'm just saying this game, this matchup, this night, I feel pretty good about the Patriots.
Yeah.
Now we're getting a little more wind and rain.
But warmer. The temperature's
yes.
actually going up.
Yeah, the low, it started out where they were saying the low was going to be like 33. It's now up in the 40s.
Right.
So it's just going to be warm.
It's actually going to be around 50 degrees at
unseasonably,
kickoff.
I would term it,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Which, but still, it's an outdoor game, and it's, you know, not the, you know what, Irsay last week tweeted out like, 72 and no wind, using the dome or something, hashtag or whatever. It's not going to be that. There's going to be some elements and some weather to deal with.
Right.
Yeah, well, they're talking about the rain that you guys have mentioned, and now I'm hearing a lot of people talk about some wind possibilities, too.
Mm, that's so, even worse.
You know what they say about the wind?
Well, it blows.
Yep.
Hey!
I had no idea what you were talking about, but knowing it came from you, I put two and two together.
I came up with
homosexuality.
What gives me confidence going into this game is
heterosexuals can get
it is that running game. And I know you guys might poo-poo it, but I really think that they like what they've done, and especially the offensive line, and they're going to want to keep doing that.
Who's poo-pooing the running game?
Well, you, Paul.
Well, in general, he poo-poos the running game.
The importance of the running game.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Well, you don't like running backs or running the ball.
Right.
I don't think that you score that many points running the ball. That's true. But to dismiss what LeGarrette Blount did against Buffalo, 180 whatever yards?
Yeah.
I did that?
Well, do you want him to rush for 180 this week?
By all means, if he wants to do that, I think the Patriots would win the game if he did that again. Absolutely. When, you know, is it normal to expect a 35 and a 34 yard touchdown run?
Here,
or a 35 and 36 yard run, whatever
Paul,
it was?
What I'm saying is I think this offense this year, this edition of the Patriots offense right now needs to run the ball effectively, more so than any team since 2005. They need to run the ball.
I would agree
to
with that.
Win.
I would agree with that.
Because
to
I do
run
think
the ball.
One of the intriguing things about the Patriots is just you don't know who they are. You know, we've talked about
right.
it. You're 16 games in, your injuries, they ran, they didn't run. They've had. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know, usually we feel, I think we usually feel, we know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be stunned to see them throwing the ball, running the ball.
Do you have confidence in Brady throwing for over 400 yards?
No.
In this game?
No.
Right.
Because
no,
I just
either.
Don't have any, I mean, for me, for him to do that, I think you'd have to have, you know, 100 and something yards from Edelman, 100 and something yards from Amendola, and probably 100 and something yards from Vereen. I mean, he's the next in line in the passing game,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Or 300 from Edelman.
Or 300, which means he'll need
you know, so,
about 35 catches.
Right.
And I hope I'm completely wrong, and they come out, and Tompkins catches a couple touchdowns, and Amendola has 90 yards, and Edelman has 90 yards, and Vereen has 50 yards in the passing game. And great. Okay, good. Things are clicking. But we haven't seen that of late. And, I don't know. I think they're becoming a little easier to defend in the passing game.
Yeah, but is the other defense good?
I don't think
the other defense is all that good.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm emphasizing
certainly not now.
This game, this night, this matchup, I feel really good about the Patriots. I may not say that again this year if they do go on. I mean, you know, it just
right. you know,
this game I like.
They might be losing. They might be missing two guys. They're definitely missing one in Toler. They might be missing LeRon Landry, even though he came back to practice. But it doesn't mean that he's going to be able to stay out there with a concussion. We've seen that with Nate Solder. He had to leave the game. I think that this is a team that you can run and throw against. Your point, I totally agree with your point that I think that this offense needs to run the ball. Because I don't think the passing game is the sure thing that it has
right.
typically been. So I agree with you on that. But at the same time, as a Patriots backer, I'd be concerned by that fact. Because I think it's hard to win that way.
That's why I'm concerned.
I think they need to run. And I think that they will run the ball reasonably effectively. And I think you can do that and not score a lot of points. I think you can run the ball very well in a football game and not have what happened against Buffalo. Where, you know, like the Ravens game, I thought they ran pretty well against the Ravens. They had 20 points with 2 minutes left. I think that by almost by definition, that allows the other team to stay in the game.
Yeah.
Now, the Patriots threw for 100 and change in both of those games, right? Baltimore and Buffalo. I would expect them to throw for more than 100 and change against the Colts. So now you have that running game, and you augment it with a play action. They didn't really hit a lot of those play action spots. Remember the game against Buffalo? I go, when we were talking about, oh, geez, the play action. And you said, oh, play action. I go, and it didn't work. And I'm like, well, actually, it did. Because he had all day to throw. He just didn't find anybody. So, I expect them to hit some of those. If they're running the ball effectively with Blunt and Ridley,
right,
and then they try one of those play action, I'm guessing that someone's going
to
pop over.
Now, I never like to factor in defensive scores and figuring out who's going to win or not, because you never know when they're going to come.
But I agree with
you. Do you think the Patriots will have a defensive score against the Colts?
No.
No, and I agree exactly the way you said it. You can't factor that into
but
a game.
But you also can't even factor – more so can't factor it in against – the team that has the fewest turnovers giveaways in the NFL and a quarterback who only had 9 interceptions. It's not, you know, if you had Eli Manning and he's, you know, throwing 26 touchdowns, you have a better reason to say, I expect a defensive turnover.
Absolutely.
I mean, a defensive score. You don't really have
even,
reason.
Even the fact that, you know, Andrew Luck's never been to a division game on the road before. This is his first time.
I think that hinders them. Yeah. I think that's a minor factor that I give an edge towards the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All those things. I give a little edge or a bigger edge towards the Patriots. The one thing I did, don't you think there's a good chance that this could be a two-back game where we see some of those split backs and different things we've seen with Vereen and motions out? And I keep getting back to, if you're going to have your best 11 on the field and your best playmakers on the field, I feel like the running backs are a big part of that. I mean, yeah. I'm not looking to get Matthew Mulligan and Michael Omanawanui, you know, all these reps.
Keep Vereen involved with another one of the backs, whether it be Blunt or Ridley, and get, you know, Mulligan or Hooman or Kenbrell Tompkins off the field.
Right.
He's not one of your 11 best.
Exactly.
So I agree. I agree with
you. I don't think there's any other way to look at it, Paul.
Exactly.
All right.
Do you know what we're doing when we do that?
What?
That's Tony Mazz.
That's when we mock Tony.
When Felger says something and Tony Mazz,
I don't see how you can look at it any other way, Mike.
He gets sort of tired of saying, you're right, Mike. And he just says, exactly.
How about you say something different?
Of course!
Or if he's not saying that. They suck! They blow! They suck!
That. He can't find another word.
Yeah.
You don't like that word?
No.
Why?
Because sometimes my kids are in the car with me listening, and I don't want them hearing that.
You were on with them yesterday. How did that go? How did sunshine.com go yesterday?
We were very sunny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No arguments?
No, we opened up with, I think the Patriots are going to win. And Falcon goes, well, that stinks. We can't get into it.
Should have had Fred on. They could have got into it for a while. Right? Fred doesn't.
Yeah, Fred doesn't.
No, I do.
I called you my football guru last night on Comcast Sportsnet.
I will be picking the Patriots to win, just so in case anyone's nervous. I did get at least one tweet this morning from one of our listeners. Says, you're really making me nervous. I'm afraid you're not going to pick the Patriots. I am going to pick the Patriots. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Both ways?
I don't know what the number is.
Like 7.5.
Oh, 7.
Ooh, I have to think about that one.
Ooh,
wow.
I have to think about
that. He's projecting
one.
A tight ball game.
I was thinking today in
See,
the
I
shower,
actually thought I was going to be taking the points until I saw that spread today. It was,
you know,
a little lower than I
obviously
thought.
Obviously, they're not going to – okay, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but if the Patriots win and the Broncos win, that's when they'll set that spread. But if you thought that that's what's going to happen, it's going to be Patriots-Broncos, right now, what would you set that number as?
3.
I say 5.
Okay.
I would go a little more than 3. Yeah. 4, 4.5.
But I do think it would. It's going to be affected by the performances.
Right.
They always are.
Right.
But right now,
right.
I
right
think people
now.
Are really, really reluctant to believe in Denver. So I think it's going to be a little lower than people think.
Right.
But they can change that. You're right.
Yeah.
If he goes out there and throws 5 touchdowns and 400 yards.
Then it could be 7.
You know, it's one of those don't punt from the mid-2000s games for him.
Then it could be 7, especially if the Patriots have another one of their games that Fred's talking about against bad teams like Cleveland or one of those games, and they squeak it out.
Yeah, so I think you're going to get the New England money real fast anyway, so you might as well make it lower, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, now, without the games to base it on, I think there's a lot of sort of reluctance to believe in Peyton Manning. 8 1-and-dones. That's how many times have you heard? Did you know that?
A lot.
Did you know that he went one and done eight times?
Time or two. Time or two.
So I think right now a lot of people are thinking like that. So I don't think the spread will be as high as you think. And absolutely, the Patriots get a lot of money.
Yeah.
The wise guys like the Patriots.
Yeah, so that would probably lower the spread early on. But I think it should be five.
I'd say five.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email spreads. Address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
You don't see
hotline.
A lot of games by five.
855-PATS-500. Where's Eric? Is he just not going to be
the
with us anymore?
Locker room.
Oh, yeah,
is it the locker room?
Someone's got to go to the locker
room. I thought they didn't start till 1.
Andy and I have decided to.
Oh, it's 12:15 today?
Yeah, and now I'm told that it's going to be delayed. So.
Ooh.
Big news, though.
Yeah.
Got an injury report yesterday. I was
very excited
to see the Wednesday injury report.
And speaking of that, Dobson again today was not in practice, so I would say it does not look good for him Saturday night.
He's going to lose the foot.
Surprised they didn't put him on IR. So,
well, obviously they're holding out hope that he's going to return.
Yeah.
And they, obviously they didn't have the same hope for a guy like Spikes, who clearly they gave him that week off. They bring him back, and it's not, you know, there was no response. And because, you know, I don't think it was just a push to get Jagared. What's his last name?
Davis.
Davis on the roster.
Okay.
Jagared, as Fred would call him.
Lots of.
I don't actually know how to say. I mean,
Jagared.
It's Jagared.
I would think. I mean, I didn't actually look at the pronunciation guide, but it looks like Jagared.
Anything else? Jay Gruden's going to be the head coach of the Washington Redskins
for 2 years, anyway.
Yeah. And
he'll be out.
I don't think any of the pro jobs. James Franklin, evidently Vanderbilt coach, is taking the Penn State job.
Okay. A lot of coordinators moving around.
Zimmer from the Bengals is reportedly the head candidate in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But who knows? Josh McDaniels was supposedly the top candidate in Cleveland. And
I was reading some stuff from our buddy Bert Breer talking. Someone told him. He's been told, you know, Bill O'Brien is doing what Belichick did back in 2010 here in New England in the Houston offices, trying to get rid of anything individual around the Texans' offices. Anything that's focused on an individual award or accomplishment, you know, going more with the team. Mm. And to which I saw a follow-up tweet by Mike Garofalo that I thought was really interesting, saying this is from the guy who put the names on the backs of the shirts at Penn State, which is a good sign for him. It shows you his ability to adapt to different situations.
Right. Yep.
It's not just a broad brush. This is what you do. No, this is what needs to be done in Houston. That's what needed to be done at Penn State.
Why I like him.
And that's what people think about Bill O'Brien. He's not necessarily a guy who's going to do it just what Bill did.
Right.
He's not going to be Bill Belichick. Right. He's going to be Bill O'Brien.
Good.
And I like that. And I could see why you'd need it there, because there is some, you know, view of them that it's J.J. Watt,
talent.
It's Andre Johnson, it's not the team.
And
you know, from afar, you could see why maybe that would be an issue there, that they do need to be a little more team first.
Too star-driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones then.
Okay.
Frank in Winnipeg is first up. Hey, Frank.
Hey. Thanks, Brad. Wonderful show. Really, you know, great show. As a matter of fact, I have to phone in. I was so excited. I'm not prepared for a loss this weekend.
You're not mentally prepared. Okay.
At all.
Well, Fred will get you prepared.
I have 2 points I want to raise. One is the running ability of Luck, the quarterback. Do you think we'll be able to handle that? And the other thing is the actual coaching caliber on the other team. How do you think it compares with Belichick? I've heard that this guy's pretty good in terms of game planning.
Who,
so if
Pagano?
You could address those, I'd really appreciate it.
I think
thanks
talking
for all your work.
Okay.
Thank you, Frank.
I think when they were talking about game plan, I think they were talking more about their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Pep Hamilton.
Yeah.
Who has gone, you know, more no huddle, hurry up after, you know, previously Stanford background, being more of a kind of ground and pound power football guy. And Belichick definitely said he's a game plan coach, so it changes each week what they're looking to do and how they attack things.
What do you think about Pagano as a head coach?
Getting
past all the emotion of last year and all that stuff, how is he as a head coach?
You know, obviously they've made, you know, nice strides, but one of the things I always look to is the inconsistency. And we've talked about it. You know, they have had big wins where they've sort of fallen off and had some bad losses during the year. I think their consistency hasn't been great. And I think a lot of times that stems from leadership, from because your talent is essentially the same every week.
Yeah.
And your game planning is the same every week. But are you not somehow keeping them even keeled from week to week? And obviously we see that better here than in most places, almost maybe too much of an extreme, as we've talked about in the past. But I think he's a good coach. I mean, you can't just throw everything on Andrew Luck. And I know he wasn't really there last year, and it was Arians that did it, but they kept it going. I mean, it could have fallen apart.
Right.
If you thought it was Arians, it could have fallen apart. So I think he's a pretty good coach so far.
I put him on the par of like a Mike Tomlin.
Oh, I think he's much better than Mike Tomlin.
I think he's more involved with that. I mean, he's taken over the defense more this year, much more active role. They're sort of his defense, as Bill's talked about, going back to Baltimore with those roots. And, yeah, I think
I have Tomlin's a feeling overrated. In about 2 years, that's going to be a very, very good team.
Oh, yeah, well.
I think when he gets his people to play the way the Ravens played, I think he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
And I think they have the quarterback, obviously, to be good on that side of the ball. I think that's going to be a team to be reckoned with for a while.
Did something Bill couldn't do.
What's that?
Took Darius Butler, made a competitive NFL cornerback.
Well, I don't know about that. I saw him.
You haven't watched then.
I saw him get burned a little bit last week.
Well, that was the play he took off. Did you see that play? Where they thought the whistle got blown dead and he didn't cover and they threw the ball right over his head. If that's the one. And it looked like he got toasted and then he's like, I thought the play was over, like, which is partially his fault.
Right.
You can't assume the play's over.
But I've seen enough of Colts games this year to see, you know, the word that you described, a competitive cornerback. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not great.
That's what he's been. I mean, I think he should get a lot of penalties, but I like the way I like that. That's what I like about Logan Ryan. The fact that he sticks his nose in there. Same with Dennard. I like the way that they're not afraid to get their hands on the receiver and get physical. You're going to get flags doing that, but you're also going to get away with a lot of things doing that and get some pass breakers.
It's going to be – look, all these games to me are fascinating, but especially when you get to this level and, like you mentioned, Pep Hamilton, what will the Colts come out showing? You know, will it be one of those things where they bing, bing, bing down the field and the Patriots have to adjust? Like we've seen many times where – an offense makes the Patriots defense look really bad really early. And then, you know, they adjust and they kind of bring in that middle reliever to keep things level until the offense can catch up again. That could happen very easily.
And it could happen more easily because just they're all the same. All these teams are the same. They're not that good. There's not that much talent. They all have some injuries. You know, plays are important. I know that sounds stupid, but plays are important. And I think momentum is important and, you know, a special teams play here or there. It's so close to me. The fine line between winning and losing for all these teams
is
so close.
It really is. Jeff's in Vegas, and he wants a piece of Joel in Atlanta.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Haven't heard you in a while.
Yeah, I haven't been to work a lot during the week, but I've been trying to get in on the pregame social as much as possible. But this guy, Joel in Atlanta, trying to swoop in and become the most, in Eric Scalabrino's term, reviled, the most reviled caller. Please tell Joel that if you want to be despised or if he wants to be the villain, that's something you can't get by begging for it or being needy. That's something you have to earn.
You just have to be annoying like Jeff.
Right.
Oh, that was
Thank
not
you,
right.
That's what he's looking for.
Hey, Jeff, if you had a set of
Jeff,
line...
was that not what you were looking for? Honestly, wasn't that what you were looking for?
It was, Paul.
Thank you.
If you had a set of line right now of Patriots-Broncos, right now, what would you set that line at?
I think right around 4.
Yeah.
Right around Denver -4. They don't really go, but there is a lot of... I would almost think 3.5, but there is a lot of New England, like you guys say. People love New England as an underdog in the playoffs, just, you know, Belichick, Brady, that sort of thing.
Right. So you can certainly, the higher the number you make, the more money would come in from New England. But, you know, you don't want to screw yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really ever see, you don't see many 3.5, you don't see many 4.5, you do see some 4. So I think it would be 4, and then again, depending on the results, it might even probably go to 3, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And then once it's at 3, most people will say, oh, even level playing field, Denver would be much more than a pick 'em. So then you'd get some Denver money if you had New England +3 at some point.
Yeah.
Last thing about Joel, he's hinting around about theme music or like a sound bite. That whole Heavens to Betsy thing was meant, I think, Anthony in Naples came up with that, like, to criticize me. It wasn't something to be, like, embraced or celebrated. Enough with Joel. On to Paul.
heavens to Betsy!
Yeah, I agree with Jeff on that. I think it was Anthony and Naples that came up with that.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be something negative to make fun of me. So, you know, as Paul said, Joel, be careful what you wish for there, buddy. Back to Paul. I really got a kick out of Paul openly mocking the callers when they call in and say how despised we are by the
I don't know why everybody keeps saying that.
Yeah.
Why does everybody keep saying I'm mocking Paul, anybody?
Yeah.
Paul, everybody hates the Patriots. It's a fact.
But it still feels good to hear you just agree, Paul, even
yes.
just completely to mock them. It's so pleasing to hear. And because I think there is that perception out there.
Well,
it just makes those Patriots fans feel good.
That's because it's true.
They hate us.
last thing, I'm hoping that this weather, like you're saying, the wind, rain, the Colts are still a dome team.
Yes.
And even if it's in the 50s, I mean, they still, I think you saw a little bit at the beginning of the Saints game last week. Those receivers aren't used to, you know, the slippery ball or the precipitation. Even if Luck and power, he has no arm strength problem, obviously, for the wind. But the receivers, that just is a different look for them.
Yep. It is.
I think T.Y. Hilton is an indoor receiver, and I'll be waiting to see how he reacts to a little environment.
I think that
he's
as well.
Great on the Rams in 2001.
I think that there's a big difference between Luck and Breeze because of exactly what Jeff said, though. I think Breeze has a hard time in the elements because he doesn't have the arm strength.
Right.
And I actually heard Jaworski talking about this yesterday. I don't know if you caught any of that, Andy, because it was around the time that you left for your radio gig too. But he was saying how he watches a lot of guys pregame. He watches, you know, how quarterbacks talk. He watches how they spin it.
Oh yeah, I did hear him actually.
And he said that Breeze has the way Breeze throws the ball, the tail sort of wags a little bit, and it allows him to it causes him to have some difficulty. In cold and windy conditions, and that definitely was the case in that Eagles game. I don't know if you noticed, but Peyton sort of pulled the plug on the offense in the second half.
Yeah.
He did not allow Drew Brees to, quote-unquote, lose that game for him.
Right.
They ran the ball down the Eagles' throats. That's how they won. He made some big throws like great quarterbacks do, but they ran the ball for a lot of yards in that game.
And Andrew Luck will affect him?
No, I don't think it'll affect Andrew Luck. But I do think Andy's point about T.Y. Hilton and the receivers and what you said, Jeff, about some of those dome receivers maybe having a hard time with a wet football. Maybe, you know, that I think that could be. I don't expect it to really bother Andrew Luck unless it's really, really windy. And then it's going to bother Brady, too.
He throws a good ball.
I think he throws a ball that would cut through the wind much like Tom does.
Yep. Yeah, guys, give the points, take the pass. Lock it in.
All right.
I'm giving the pick.
Jeff in Vegas.
That's too early for the pick, though. That's not right. Jeff, you got to talk to us on Saturday.
He'll still call
back. He might change.
No, he'll still call back. And
6 o'clock, by the way, for the
he didn't give
Dunkin'
the over-under
Patriots pregame.
6 to 8.
6 to 8, getting ready
now
for prime time.
It is an 8:15 kickoff. However.
Kickoff?
If.
What time does Hogan go on?
I don't know. If the early game goes a little long, there is a plan to change the kickoff to 8:25.
That happened to us a couple years ago. I want to say the Tennessee game was preceded by the Carolina Rams double overtime game.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No.
He's looking at me like Carolina, the Tennessee, the really cold game here, 17-14-03, I'll say. I believe the Carolina-St. Louis double overtime game that Steve Smith caught like a long touchdown pass in double overtime to win it. That game pushed the kickoff of our game back, if I'm not mistaken.
Freddie, your boy Christie.
Yeah.
I'm reading quotes on Twitter.
Yeah.
Claims he never heard the Fort Lee mayor's name until all this happened.
Uh-huh.
So now you're the governor of a state that doesn't know the people that are beneath him in the city. You know, that's good. Yeah, that's a good excuse. I know nothing.
That's why we got rid of him.
He is a D.B.
That's why we disassociated with him and allowed him to go to the other side.
Brad, formerly of the Eastern Shores on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I'm just kidding before anybody yells at me.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Great.
I am really psyched for this game. I am on a PFW in progress marathon because I have actually driven from Western Maryland, and I am staring at the Atlantic Ocean off the Delaware beaches today for work. So I've been driving for 5 hours and listened to the rest of Tuesday, all of Wednesday, and now with you guys today.
Nice.
Great.
couple of quick things. I was... would give my right arm for Mr. Harrison to be back in our safety position for this game this weekend. I think we could use him there. But I would like to see if Paul and Andy would agree if we were ever going to implement implement a 4-2-5 defense, would this week be it and put Harmon as the weak side linebacker slash not spy, but watching the back and then watching Ruck and let Jones and Ninkovich just drive at Ruck all day long?
So the big nickel kind of defense?
I think you're going to be. I think you're talking just about. They'll be in a sub package. I think
you're going to see that a lot.
Majority of the game. A sub game against a spread out offense. Yeah,
they're not worried about stopping the run, and they feel when they have to, they'll be able to do it.
Plus, you don't have linebackers. You're feeling like you're a little light at linebacker.
Yeah,
I think that's what
your personnel.
You know, whatever you want to call it, I think he's right. I think Brad's right. I think that's what you're going to see.
And
I don't know if it'll be Harmon.
I do think they're going to get after Luck. Well, Bill gave a nice ball washing to Harmon yesterday. About, you know, you look out there and, you know, sometimes when you put a guy in, you know, you notice a drop-off or a communication that those three, Harmon, McCourty, and Gregory, are almost interchangeable. And you don't notice a drop-off in the intelligence level and all that. You know, he really gave it to Harmon. Nice praise yesterday for Daron Harmon.
I would also go with the defensive backfield of Arrington, Shallow, and McCourty deep on Hilton, and then put Tlaib on the tight end slash wide receiver, Fellini or whatever his name is.
Fleener.
And then put Dennard on their number two wide receiver. And that way we have McCourty covering deep on Hilton and Arrington, who does play a fairly good short game, in front of him.
So you're benching Steve Gregory, huh?
No. He'd be the other safety. I'm putting Harmon in as the nickel safety slash. Oh.
So you're playing six defensive backs then?
Yeah, he's in a dime.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that as much. I thought that there was five.
According to other quarterbacks, though, the Patriots are playing a lot of zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, well, I guess some of it's man zone, but they're doing a lot of passing guys off into zones and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
down the stretch, absolutely.
Probably they have to. You know.
Well, I think that there was a time there where you weren't sure about Tlaib.
Right.
Dennard hasn't been available, even though Mark the Beetle Bertrand didn't find that interesting at all on the Patriots pregame social. Kyle Arrington has been dealing with that groin problem and been in and on and off the field a lot. Ryan has been like the true healthy corner, and he's a rookie. You've had McCourty was out last game.
Right.
You've had Gregory dealing with thumb problems, and the other guy, Harmon, is another rookie. So I think you have seen a lot of zone stuff, and it hasn't always been good. I mean, I thought it was pretty good against Baltimore, wasn't so good against Miami. I don't know. I what do you think of the whole Tlaib Fleener thing? Double Hilton, put Tlaib on Fleener. Is Fleener good enough to keep Tlaib on?
No, but I think the fact that Hilton is a bad matchup for Tlaib in terms of the physicality and the size and all that, the quickness, might lend you in that direction. I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable doing it.
This reeks a little Charles Clay-ish for me.
It's overthinking.
Tlaib on Fleener.
You know, somebody posed this to me yesterday. And I said, if I want to lose, I'm going to go down without overthinking. I'm going to lose by giving my best. To me, they have a clear-cut number one receiver. No questions asked. You have a clear-cut number one corner. No questions asked. Okay, it's not maybe the most ideal matchup, but I still like to take my chances that way, and I don't really want Arrington.
I think a lot of it depends on how much respect you give to the guys below Hilton.
None.
Well, then I think maybe,
I mean, Fleener, to me, they have two offensive weapons. It's Fleener and it's Hilton.
Yeah, then I think Brad's thing may not be that bad, really. If you really don't worry about the guys below Hilton, put two guys on Hilton. Let Dennard take their number two because you think he can handle them. And now you put a bigger Tlaib, you know, in the middle, and
yeah. Now I'm worried about Hilton beating me.
Well, if these guys do their job, you know, and you always have two guys on them.
Yeah, as I've said, I think that looks good on paper. Doesn't always look good on the field.
I think that Hilton is so far and away the best option they have. I don't know why we would want to have our secondary options covering him.
I don't.
That's
really
what I'm like. I just feel like Tlaib is a waste on Fleener. I don't think he's good enough.
Yeah, but
he's not Jimmy Graham.
But can he cover Hilton one on one?
Well, if he
I
can't,
didn't
then
one
I
one on one necessarily.
If he can't, then I want a double team with Tlaib.
Yes,
with
that's Tlaib. What I'm asking for.
I want my best cover guy involved with their best guy.
I want to go down swinging. I don't want to go down thinking.
Okay,
that's, you know, kind of what the point is. Not that I need him to just take one guy out. I need him involved in the coverage. Like the Julio Jones thing. He didn't just take Julio Jones one-on-one all night, but he was involved in a lot of double teams with him.
Well, it'll be interesting because we'll see right from the get-go what the health of the Patriots secondary is.
And I'm not putting T.Y. Hilton and Julio Jones
by who they line up against too, you know? So.
Well, but no, because they can mix it up. They can do different things.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
But, you know.
You're right. I took the Tlaib thing as a little bit of a health thing in Miami, that maybe he wasn't.
I did too.
He came back the next week. So I don't know where Tlaib is health-wise. I'm going to assume he's better than we've seen him for the most part. As I said, I want to go down swinging. I don't want to go down overthinking it and say, oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I see T.Y. Hilton dancing in the end zone.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. Little shout-out to for help from any of our listeners who have the Patriots Football Daily app. I got a tweet from one of the subscribers who said that he changed from being a monthly subscriber to a yearly subscriber, but he was still being charged for monthly. And iTunes completely controls that. He didn't know how to go about fixing that. And if anyone else has had that same issue, maybe they could write in and say how they resolved it with iTunes. Or, I mean, you could just tell your bank to stop charging it, and they will. You can do it that way. But if there's an email address or some way that you contacted iTunes to correct that, this subscriber would like some a little help. We don't have any control. iTunes and Apple controls all of that.
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. Not surprisingly, I'm no help.
No. Let's see. A lot of emails. This one is from Mike in Copenhagen.
I know nothing about anything but sports.
Denmark.
That's accurate.
Thanks for the great coverage in 2013 and hopefully in 2014. It really makes a difference when you try to follow the Patriots as an international fan. I think the game against the Colts will be close, and the turnover battle will be key, as it often is. So a quick over-under on turnovers.
Under.
Andrew Luck, 1 turnover. Doesn't say whether it's an interception or a fumble.
I'll say push. I think I said that yesterday.
Okay. Chandler Jones sacks, 2.
Under.
Ninkovic sacks,
little,
1.
Little ugly thing, 1 sack in, push. I believe, the last 5 games for Chandler Jones.
Mm, yeah.
Push.
Ninkovic, 1.
Yeah.
Push.
I think he'll get 1.
Brady
over. Over.
Brady turnovers, 1.
Push.
Really? Patriots running back fumbles, 1.
Under.
And finally, do you think the Patriots will be able to pressure Luck?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bad offensive line.
All right.
I mean, look at them. They went to BC.
And Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalada.
She does. On Twitter, I think I tweeted her or something. I don't know where else I would tweet her.
Pardon?
She does get movies early. Remember I was asking how she's watched Lone Survivor like 3 times? She gets, because she's in the industry.
She's in the industry.
Not porn, just the regular Hollywood industry. She gets the DVDs early.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if she's in porn. She may be.
Say you, Charlotta?
In regards to yesterday's discussion, whether this season would be a failure. Oh, and by the way, Holly and what's his name?
Yeah, Andy and I were talking
were
about
they
this.
The ones?
They had the same topic.
Yeah, they listened to us.
So they must listen to
Ben. Stealing. I know you're listening, Ben.
Stealing.
Hey, Ben.
Just stealing.
Yep.
Stay in the kitchen.
At least say hello next time.
Shalada says, in regards to yesterday's discussion whether this season would be a failure if we didn't win at all, I can't say that I agree, but I could say everything that happens from here on out is icing on the cake, but I could as easily say this team is destined. I can't think of one other team or coach that could do what they've been able to do this year. If Bill doesn't get Coach of the Year, I'll take that as proof they all hate us. Since I went 4-0 last weekend, I'm planning on a repeat. Seahawks over Saints, Patriots over Colts, 49ers over Panthers, Chargers over Broncos.
Is that her head speaking or her heart?
Well, I have no problem.
She was 4-0 last week.
I have no problem with the Bill for Coach of the Year.
She had 4 more wins than I did.
I think he has as much stake as anybody else in that award.
Garland writes in, do you think we'll see more Collie in this game? Whenever Brady is thrown to him, he's shown he can catch the ball, and he's the tallest receiver. Not sure why we don't see him more. Andy, why not since we're playing the Colts?
I just think he's limited.
Yeah. Speed-wise,
he's the tallest. Is he taller than Tompkins?
Tompkins is small.
Yeah,
he?
Dobson's the
Dobson's
tall
6'3". I think Tompkins is like 6 feet, right?
Yeah, but Dobson's out.
Right.
I don't picture
I know.
Austin
Dobson's
Collie
in.
How tall is Austin Collie? Because I was looking him eye to eye. He's tall.
He's
I don't think he's tall.
He's taller than Amendola. I know that for a fact.
I think it's one of those.
I think he's like 5'11 or 6 feet.
If that.
He's I don't think he's very big, but I don't think Tompkins.
I mean, I'm totally basing this on.
They could be the same.
Walking
he's
past
tall,
the locker
I think
room.
He's taller than Edelman and he's taller than Amendola.
Right. So if you're not sure what you're going to get out of Tompkins, then he's the tallest one.
Right.
Because Tompkins might be taller than Colley.
And height doesn't matter.
I don't think that's much of a difference. And I don't think if we're
in this game, I mean, in general, he might. But
I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those guys, Tompkins, Colley, whoever, even Hooman, catch a pass or two. But I wouldn't expect them to be key elements of the game. We'll make it out to be a key element after the game. But it's going to come down to how well they run the ball, what they're able to get from production-wise out of guys like Edelman and Vereen. Those guys are going to need to make plays. Blunt is going to need to score in the red zone. That's how you're going to win the game.
I'm going
to
say that if Edelman, Amendola, and Vereen, two out of those three are not your two leading receivers, you lose. Because it means they took away what should be making plays for you, and now you're scrambling to find other options.
Right.
You lose. Because those are your guys. You have to
get
production
out of
those
guys. That's why I think the key, we started this on Tuesday, is offense. I think they need to score points. I think they need to find a way to be productive.
It's easier to score points and win than it is to win without scoring points.
Okay.
Mac in Somerville. Forgive
me, Mac,
if this has been addressed already, but the stat that jumped out at me regarding the Colts this year is that they're 6-0 in division and only 5-5 outside the AFC South. Now we get on the Patriots a lot for playing in a pretty craptastic division, which, by the way, is not their fault. But the Colts play in the AFC South, which is way worse.
That's a craptastic division.
They got to play the Texans 2-14. Patrick went comfortably 31-23 this weekend. Book it. Actually, did you know?
No.
Did you know, Fred Kirsch?
Did you know that the number one team division record outside of the division was obviously the NFC West? But the number two was the AFC East.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
The NFC West was like 30-10, and the AFC East was 25-15, I think, outside of their conference. I mean, division and
against
playoff teams, it was also very good. So,
I don't know. I have a cold. I'm starting to not feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time killing the Indianapolis Colts for beating San Francisco, Seattle, and Denver.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Mean, that's 5-5 is
no
fine.
No one does that. No one has that on their resume but the Colts. So I absolutely agree that the AFC South is a craptastic division. They had two really bad teams this year and one team that was very mediocre. Whereas the AFC East had two really mediocre teams and one really bad one in Buffalo. So the AFC East this year was probably better than the AFC South. I would agree with that.
Greg, soon to be leaving Smelly Florida, writes in.
Lucky you.
Just wanted to give a shout out to you guys for the best laugh I've had in a long time, all in one show. Andy said, it affects everything you do brainerally. Producer Kevin Collins said, Fred, when you call someone a deformed penis head, it usually means you don't like them. Andy mocks Eric by shouting he's an habitual liar. And a fan writes in to reassure me that the Patriots are not talented and don't do anything particularly well.
That was the best email of that show, by far. I look at the Colts as a team that doesn't do anything overly well and not all that talented. They're like the Patriots. That was really good. That was like saying, I look at that woman like I look at my wife. She doesn't have nice breasts. And she's not all that attractive.
Patrick from
Agawam,
Mass.
My wife.
He wants to thank the Sporting News.
I saw this.
We got to talk about this.
Yeah, for ranking Tom Brady as the worst remaining quarterback in the playoffs. It's completely absurd and idiotic. Paul, you obviously don't have to answer this question.
It's idiotic.
Not just joking, Paul. Does anyone else agree that this will fire Brady up, no matter how much he excuses it and how many Belichickian cliches he throws out when asked about it? This is the kind of stuff that motivates him to play with that little extra ice in his veins. Thanks, Sporting News, for poking the hornet's nest. I think you may just piss off the wrong guy. I honestly believe Brady plays a little better when he feels he's being counted out, and that may not be the team's mentality, being the leader. And that may not be the team's mentality. Being the leader he is, he may use this as fuel for the fire for the entire team. That being said, I think the Patriots will continue to run a good balanced offense and try to run it down Indy's friggin' throat more often than not. I like the Patriots 34-14, not as close as I originally thought.
So, and then he goes on to congratulate you, Paul, for being 3-1 last week. And anything else good in here?
No.
He thinks the Broncos will edge out San Diego, blah, blah, blah. So what about this Brady stupid as the worst quarterback remaining?
It's just silly.
I mean, he's better than Luck right now, isn't he?
I certainly think he's better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, they have rankings based on like a number of categories: pocket presence, arm strength, mobility, clutch, stuff like that. And they ranked them all 1 to 8, and then they had the tabulations at the end, and it came out to be like a 3-way tie or something for first. And Brady came out last. It's absurd, absolutely absurd, to suggest that, you know, at the very least, Cam Newton is not behind him.
Plus, they had him ridiculous. Like fifth or sixth in like pocket presence. Like, they wouldn't even acknowledge his strengths necessarily. It was like,
yeah, I didn't have as big a problem with that one as the guy who I read this from wrote a blog post, because I don't think his pocket presence is as good as it used to be. I think he goes down a lot.
Ah, he's pretty good.
Well, see, I agree. It's not as good as it used to be. I'll still take it over Cam Newton. I think it's 12 Sundays out of 12 Sundays.
Yes.
I think if you put Brady on San Francisco or Carolina or Seattle and gave him these dominant defenses, you would look so different. It's why I actually, if giving all these guys that want to blow these other quarterbacks, look at what Andrew Luck has to work with. He doesn't have a great defense. He doesn't have a great running game. Those other guys have defenses and running games. To me, it's totally different what he has to work with and the success he's had with it. And I kind of put Brady in there in it to some degree.
Well, the reason why I think it's really silly, the rankings, is because it's clear that you're not really watching all of the games for all of the players, because you're saying things like, in that particular thing, the pocket presence, he's using that he was sacked a career high this year, 40-whatever times that he got sacked. And Peyton Manning has this great pocket presence still because, despite having no mobility, he was only sacked 18 times. Well, that's stupid. That's just looking at the stats on a page. This is what bothers me about baseball.
That's Bo Jackson, never had a 1,000-yard season.
With all this Hall of Fame talk that it's all about numbers, and it's why it bothers me, because you clearly don't watch the games and see that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are very similar in the pocket nowadays. They still have subtle movement in the pocket that makes them effective. Not as much of that as they used to, and they often look at a play very quickly and decide to pull the plug.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I would actually argue Brady has seemingly learned that from Manning, yes, the ability to either throw the ball into the ground or just take a dive.
So I think there are times where you can take a sack, and that is an example of very good pocket presence.
Yeah.
As opposed to standing in there, knowing a blitz is coming, get blindsided, but you stood in there.
Right.
And maybe you get blindsided and lose the football. Well, is that good pocket presence?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
It was just stupid. I think it was just a grab for clicks. And it worked.
I do, too.
Because everybody retweeted. Everybody's talking about it.
Oh, yeah. It was Vinny Iyer, I believe, from Sporting News that compiled it.
Who's that?
The guy from Sporting News that compiled it.
But should I know the name?
No.
Oh. Brady must have turned him down for an interview or something.
Yeah, I got a question that I posed to Paul. Brady has been known to be tight with Michael Silver, that they're boys.
Okay.
And Brady is supposedly tight with Josh McDaniels. You know, he's my best friend, one of my best friends, coaching, blah, blah, blah. And Michael Silver has been doing nothing but shred Josh McDaniels.
Really?
Shredding him.
I haven't seen any.
Wrote a whole long column ripping him, tying it into, like, race, like, you know, a retread, like Josh is getting love when, you know, the race, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's Josh just catching shrapnel, though, right?
No. You need to read it. It was very personal. Josh was the focal point of the ire. Not Vinny, but the ire of Michael Silver.
Really?
And even today, like, there was something where somebody, like, retweeted that Josh had put, Cleveland's not going to go with McDaniels, Josh pulls it, whatever, and thank God Silver, like, Silver seems to really hate McDaniels. Huh. And I find it weird
that
he
can be. Maybe
it has
something to do with him being at Denver? He did something to him at Denver?
Maybe, but don't you think Brady, if he's really boys, and shouldn't Brady make a call and say, hey, get off my boy?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I always worry about when you have a guy on your team that is starting to get looks and you're too effusive with your praise for him. Aren't you pushing him out the door a little bit?
Well, it depends on.
I'd rather say I'm focused on the game right now.
I don't look at it that way. I know you always say that, but I think that if you really have a lot of respect for the guy, I think that's only natural that you would say nice things about him.
I don't think
it's because you want him to leave.
I'd be like, Josh, don't leave, man.
Well, don't you want other people to succeed and have opportunities that you had? And you're trying to keep them down?
Of course that they you want.
I don't think
that
breeds a good working environment if they feel like you're trying to keep them down. I don't think it does at all.
Why don't you just go out and give them a bad recommendation while you're at it?
You can't do that.
I know, but it's very selfish.
Is it? It is, kind of.
But is it against the law in the NFL where you're allowed to do anything because you're a non-profit, non-taxed, do anything you want monopoly?
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Quickly, a couple thoughts about this game. You know, number one, going back to Tlaib, you know, I think the key part of this game plan, number one, is getting into Andrew Luck's head. And, you know, to me, putting Tlaib on that security blanket is a huge thing. It'll rule him out. It's not getting Luck wondering. You know, to me, the big dagger that they present to us is third down and Andrew Luck getting loose in that pocket, scrambling. And, you know, I think we got to keep him on the heels early and often, you know, with that in mind. You know, I just keep going through my mind as to which DBs are going to be make the most sense. And to me, I think if we take Fleener out of the game, then T.Y. just becomes a home run threat that we can key on and adjust to. Ninko, to me, is going to be the big play on defense in terms of spying Andrew Luck and getting us off the field on third down. Big concern there. But we got to keep the grit. We got to be tough. And we got to set this playoff environment, Pats Nation. People that are going to this game need to get loud, get loose, and I cannot wait for a big win. I'm going 34-20 Pats, and that's all I got. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Chester. Chester brings it. He comes prepared.
Yeah, I agree with a lot. 14-point
win. I'm in that ballpark.
I'm right around there. I'm a little bit less, but not much. Same kind of score, 30-something to 20-something.
Mario writes in, I just needed to tell that whoever did the video on Patriots.com when you first go there needs to get a raise, promotion, Super Bowl ring if we get there, because that thing was effing amazing. Would be Ray Ray. Rachel
Amarillion.
Amarillion.
Rachel did it.
In the Rachel. In the missing link. Did the editing.
Nice.
So
very well done. Did you see it yet, Andy?
No.
You don't go to Patriots.com.
You don't visit our own website? Is that right?
You were looking for Patriots stats. You just went to Colts.com, upcoming opponent stats.
I haven't been to Patriots.com in a long time.
It's my homepage.
It did hit 31 below in South Dakota in a town named Aberdeen. Aberdeen is 2 hours north of me. The coldest I experienced was 25 below. Wind speeds averaged 30 to 40 miles per hour. Temperature with wind chill was 50 below at times. The engine device you're referring to is a block heater. You plug it in and
wait a minute, what'd you just say?
The engine device that you remember yesterday you were talking about that.
Warming you said up your it engine. Funny though. It made it sound like that way people some people say Indian. The engine device.
You refer to as the block heater. You plug it in, it keeps your engine block warm. I fortunately did not require one as I drive a Subaru. As Fred would say, who asked you? No, Andy, I'm not a lesbian. Well, not technically. We're all lesbians, aren't we?
Because we like women.
Now a coaching question.
Mom said, "Can you live?"
Which of the following do you believe is possible? A, Josh McDaniels is our head coach next year, and Bill steps back and becomes president of football operations GM. Evidence: Josh backed away from the Browns. Bill started a charity. B, Scarnecchia retires. Brian Daboll takes over as the O-line coach, special assistant. Possible evidence: Scar is getting older, and Brian Daboll was working with the O-line at training camp. O-line has struggled. C, Bill retires completely. Tom retires and becomes president of football operations like John Elway. Evidence, Bill started a charity and has a hot girlfriend. Tom bought land and built a house. And D, nothing changes. Greatness continues.
B.
The question is, which is most likely out of that?
Yeah.
B.
Well, I
agree with
you. That was the old line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. B.
B. Scarnecchia retires. Daboll takes over.
Yeah. I'm also not sold that not some portion of the others might not, though.
Yeah, I would go B, D, A, C in order.
You know, we
of,
have never talked about this before, but is right. there a possibility when Brady retires he takes a front office position with the Patriots?
I don't think there is.
You don't think there is?
I don't think that he has interest in being John Elway.
I don't either, but there's always a possibility.
He built that mansion?
So?
Flip this house.
Well, yeah, that could happen.
He's going to make money off that. That's what he's been doing for his entire time here is
very
he buys
smart,
something and sells it. Yeah. Remember, he bought the brownstone, like made one in a condominium, boom, 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 flipped that. It's what he's done. He's a flipper.
Okay. So, you don't think there's any chance he becomes...
Yeah, I agree with the way Andy said it. I mean, I'm not saying there's a 0% chance. I'm not saying... I don't know Tom well enough to know that he has no plans for that, I'd be surprised.
I would be, too.
To find out that he has designs of being like a John Elway type.
Yeah. And I'd be surprised if she wants him to. I mean, they want to have a big family. They've talked about continuing, like going 5-6 deep with kids.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just, going to the combine or something. I mean, do you think he's going to want to do that?
Yeah.
Elway is a drinking, partying, womanizing, he wants
to live that lifestyle. I was listening to Sirius this morning.
Oh, man.
And there was a John Elway car ad on Sirius that you can now buy his cars online anywhere in the country.
I thought he sold it or went out of business.
He'd made
another one?
Yeah, and I'm John Elway.
But that's not a conflict of interest. You're listening on Sirius NFL?
No, it was it was another Sirius station. Okay. Yeah.
Why are people – there's a lot of conflicts of interest in the NFL, I think. All this, Trent Dilfer has a quarterback academy. Deion Sanders has Deion Inc.
But he can't have a car dealership?
That advertises on NFL Sirius, I would think, would be
well,
a
conflict. Well, it wasn't on the NFL station, to be clear. But
wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I would imagine it
should be. I want to get back into this because I think Andy could say something really good now. why can't he advertise in NFL circles?
I just think that's a conflict of interest.
Why?
A team president advertising on team radio, it feels wrong to me. I don't know the specific reason. I cannot voice the specific reason. It feels wrong to me.
Okay.
Well, isn't Woody Johnson like the Johnson & Johnson company?
Yeah, but that's a little different.
Is it?
Why?
I just think it's a little different.
And does he pay?
Who?
Elway?
I don't know. How does he pay?
I would say that he shouldn't get it for nothing.
Right.
He should have to pay for
advertising. Does he take his deferred compensation from the Broncos and then defer that to the league? I mean, what it feels like. There's a lot going on here.
But now you're asking different things.
All right, let's go to one more call, then we'll take a break. Victor's in Ecuador. Hey, Victor.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, I just want to tell you guys that it's 88 degrees down here, and it stays that way pretty much the whole year.
Well, Screw you.
But what is it with the wind chill?
The wind chill is about 90. Yeah,
it's a warm breeze.
Yeah, it's a warm breeze. I was just worried, how are we going to match up with Keenan Allen and Danny Woodhead,
you're looking ahead, Victor.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done, Victor.
Listen, I'm really not worried about this game. And besides that, everybody knows that Peyton Manning treats the playoffs like Gronk treats his lady. Like one and done, baby.
Oh wow! You came ready to go.
Yeah. Other than that,
is that the last one?
I was curious. Who's the actual, head of nutrition and athletic training, maintenance? I don't know, in the Patriots, because you see all these reports from all various sources about how the Eagles are so healthy and good or not. When I see a guy like Patrick Trump healthy at the end of the year, I mean, that says something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They've been very lucky, the Eagles had or were very lucky this year with their injuries. They were one of the healthier teams out there. You're absolutely right.
And Chip Kelly did get a lot of credit for redoing the whole everything. Way they eat, the way they supplement, the schedule, the way they pads, everything.
I guess in Oregon they had a good program and they did it there, and he took a lot of that stuff with him.
Yeah, and that's one area you could benefit from being in a college environment is sort of you're in a university where there may be research being done.
Innovation.
And they're dabbling. They're even using some of your team as test. Who knows what he picked up there.
And I give credit to Belichick because that's why he stays in touch closely with a lot of these coaches because he's learning stuff too.
Yeah, I agree with that on Bill. But I also think that Chip Kelly has talked a lot about some kinesiology and some different things of keeping the players off their feet, required sleep and stuff like not like go home and get some rest. No, you're required to be asleep right now. Take it during training camp and stuff like that. And I know that players rest and things like that, but it seems like their program is a little bit more detail oriented than most.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Victor from Ecuador. We'll take a break right now. We come back a lot more emails and calls as we get ready for the Colts.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
We all know that Paul Perillo is an award-winning journalist, but did you know he's also an excellent babysitter?
Guys, knock it off.
Paul excels in communication.
I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a terrible mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Really?
Teaching.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know... I'll kick your A, or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening.
Wow, violent.
And discipline.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Will gets arrested when he's 16, they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now. But it won't be a spanking on the ass either.
In need of a sitter this weekend? Call Paul at 855-PATS-500 or email your babysitting request to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Fred, Andy, Eric, and Papa Perillo.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And apparently we have a little show-on-show crime going on. We left the studio yesterday, and according to Brian in Essex, Vermont, he was listening to the playbook yesterday regarding the fallout of the Negative Nancy show, a.k.a. Nitpick Tuesday, and apparently you guys have never criticized the Patriots game, performance, or play, and that if people want pom-poms, according to Rook, they should listen to PFW, and that the playbook looks at it on an unbiased manner, never mind that they spend 2 hours taking shots at the team every week in the post-game show, and PFW can manage to identify all the issues and poor performances that work great performance, whatever. Just thought it was kind of disrespectful, and seems like Eric is a bad influence on Rook.
I agree with that. Wow. I think Eric has taken Rook down a negative road.
Yeah?
I do. I do blame Eric for that, because I think Rook used to be really positive, really objective, used to look at that, and I think he's gone down a negative road. Yeah. Remember that a couple weeks ago when I asked him, tell me how they beat the Ravens, and he said, I can't. The old Rook would not have said that. That was Eric influenced. But to be fair, Rook basically said that when we were here too, the pom-pom things.
Right.
Which I'm all for. If you want to claim up, that helps to balance out my image, because I've been accused of the exact opposite for a long time.
Right. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes in, Fred, why don't you give out the link where we can download the paper for free on the next curse words? That's a joke, because I always publish links about watching. As for the season being a success, I predicted 12-4, but given the current problems roster, I now view this record as a successful season. I also think with all the injuries, some pleasantly surprising players have emerged, which should help us in the long run. To me, failure looks something like Eric's sex life, low expectations that end disappointment, for the women, that is. On the bright side, if reincarnation is anything like the draft, Eric's next life should be pretty, pretty good.
I don't think the women are disappointed with Eric, because they're with other men, so it's not really related to Eric.
No. Let's see.
Was that line, did you do that on the air or off the air yesterday? Saying that his failure is... Yeah.
I think that was on the air.
Okay.
Alex in Falmouth is rendering what video on Patriots.com? He's on the front page right now, and there's a window showing a live stream of a press conference that hasn't started yet. Thrilling. And links to lots of stories, transcripts. Well, if you clear your cache and go back to Patriots.com, it should open up with a video.
Oh, it automatically opens?
It automatically opens. So clear your cache and give it another shot. So I also think that if you go into the news feed, you can also find it there. It has to do with adversity. So Nick in Seattle, is this the game we see high tempo hurry up? We saw more of last year. Have they kept this in the back pocket all year?
I don't believe this is the game you'll see that.
No, I don't either. So, Mike in Oregon, another person from Oregon. I know you guys already touched on this, but if we beat the Colts this weekend, will win a playoff game with Edelman, Amendola, Tompkins, and Collie at wide receiver. That's simply amazing to think about. It is. Let's see, Rich.
Can I address that one?
Sure.
Why is that exactly?
Because he doesn't think they're that good.
So you think they should lose then?
Oh.
I mean, Danny Amendola is a guy we gave $31 million to as a free agent to replace Wes Welker. And now if he's part of a wide receiver corps that wins a playoff game, that's amazing?
Maybe if you said it was Amendola Gronkowski, then it wouldn't be so amazing.
Do you think it will be amazing if they win on Sunday, Saturday?
No, not amazing.
All right, so we agree.
It'll be amazing if they win the Super Bowl, I think. Rich says, I can't remember, or was the Baltimore game Dennard's last in and out game before he was out completely? Also, has anyone seen how he looks at practice since he's returned? Mankins, too, how does he look walking? So Rich wants to know, or Rachel, I don't know which it is, wants to know, how does Dennard look, and what was the so she thinks that he's had a lot of rest, Dennard.
Yep. Dennard didn't really play against Baltimore. He played like five snaps.
Yep.
He wasn't in and out of that game. He just played, I think, on an emergency basis when someone else had to leave. And it wasn't very much. It was less than 10 anyway.
And then he didn't play.
I mean, he didn't play in the finale.
So, yes, he has had almost a month.
Basically a month off.
Those cookies are good, Fred. I don't know why you're bitching. Well, they're soft, and you do kind of need a fork to use it.
I mean, look at this.
I know, but eat it. It tastes good.
Oh, it tastes good.
It's a warm, sweet, moist.
All right.
What?
Jim writes in, been listening, unfortunately never live. I do the podcast for a few years now. For the last few years that I've gone to games, I've had seats at the very top of one of the bowls, so standing the whole game was never an issue. I got my hands on some rich people seats.
Nice.
Am I going to have an issue standing and yelling on defense when I'm surrounded by the Real Housewives of Foxborough, or do you think it's possible people could get pumped up for this big game?
It's possible, but I think you might have an issue. If you're standing the whole time, you might get Paul Perillo sucker punched.
Yeah.
Wait.
Was that rubbing
against
your chin?
I mean, you should be standing when the Patriots are on.
But if you're
defense.
In the rich people's seat, then probably won't be anybody behind you, so you'd be fine.
Oh.
Those red seats
are empty.
Well, I don't
think it means the real rich people's seats.
Oh.
But maybe.
Because I was being dead serious. I wasn't being sarcastic, Paul, on that one.
Yeah, sure you weren't.
Those red seats tend to be empty for a lot
after
of time.
After the halftime.
Oh, yeah, I know. Only when the game's on the line.
No, they went and they got a cocktail and they didn't realize the second half started.
TG and NJ finally got to listen to yesterday's podcast. Wow, all the negativity on this radio station sucks. I just got to say, Squidward, the issue is not your negativity.
It's you.
It's your pomposity. Be as negative as you like, but your supercilious, holier-than-thou attitude wears thin fast. Of the QBs left, half are pocket passers, half can take off and run. Based on the results of this weekend, will that settle the debate between the pocket passer versus the option QB? When I see a QB like Luck or Wilson take off and run when the play breaks down, I find myself saying, I wish Brady could do that. And, Paulie, I think you underestimate the Colts. They are a feisty, scrappy, mentally tough team. They have beaten three of the remaining playoff teams. They know how to come from behind and win a game. I think Luck is the most complete quarterback out there. Win or lose, I think that this game has the potential of being the best game of the playoffs. My biggest fear in this game, and an X factor I think that is being overlooked, is Adam Vinatieri. That would kind of sting if he won it on a field goal.
48 yards.
I think he has me confused with Andy. Andy's the one that seems to be, like, no chance. I think all the things about the Colts that he said I agree with. I think they are a scrappy team and have the best resume in terms of the teams that they beat.
Yeah.
I don't think the Patriots are going to lose because I think the Colts are not the same team that beat those teams earlier in the year.
Sean in Petaluma, California, said he saw a debate on NFL Network that gave me pause, so I'll pose the same question to you. Are the Patriots the best remaining defense in the AFC? I can't believe this, but I actually think we might be.
I don't think so.
Are they better than Denver?
I think they're – if this is going to be very Andy-like, but I think they all four stink.
I definitely think all four stink, but if you absolutely have to rank them, I don't know where I'd rank them.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, right now I would probably say San Diego would be one, but I don't think they were the best throughout the course of the year. They've played the best now, right?
They all stink, Fred.
They all stink.
There's no
the Colts actually
that.
Allowed fewer points than the Patriots in the regular season, and I think they're not very good on defense, right? They allowed two less points than the Patriots.
Yeah. But his larger point, I guess, is accurate. If you can't rank them, then, yeah, the Patriots have a – you could probably make an argument the Patriots are the best of the crap,
yep.
The king of the dip poos.
G4 Driver in Georgia says, you were discussing that every state in the union was below freezing the other day, and Andy was surprised that Hawaii was below freezing too. The temperature in Hawaii was taken on top of Mauna Kea, an inactive volcano, and an elevation is 13,796 feet. The temp at that elevation was 18 degrees Fahrenheit. So.
Still counts.
Somewhere in Hawaii it was below 30.
Still counts. I don't care if it's on a mountaintop. I assumed mountaintops on Hawaii weren't that high. I don't know why.
Sam in Chicago.
What's up?
I enjoyed Andy joining Jackie B on Locker Rooms Uncut Edition on Monday, but it may shed some light for all the boos in the media room. Andy never smiled during his whole appearance, and at the end of the segment, as Jackie says her goodbyes, Andy seems to stifle a smile and just squeezes his lips together as if he's repressing a burp. Smile, man.
I may have been repressing a burp.
Looking forward to a rainy Saturday game to enable the Patriots to run game to stuff the Colts.
I'm not a smiler in general.
You need to smile.
I also have the thing in the middle of your, like, this thing. Like, you know, you
when you smile, it furrows your brow.
No, but I tend to have a scowl look a lot of the time, like I'm doing right now. Do I have a scowl?
Yeah, but you're not smiling. That's not a smile, what you just did.
I don't smile.
Well, you should.
I smile all the time.
When you're talking to the camera, be happy that
I don't like fake smiles. Then you come off looking like Eric, like a serial killer.
Well, they're not fake if you appreciate people listening to you and watching you.
Yeah, it is. If I have to think about smiling, it's a fake smile.
Well, I'm saying you should be thankful that people are willing to watch and listen to you.
I think I'm doing
analysis.
And for
that, you should be happy, and then you smile.
No, that's ridiculous. If you have to think about smiling, it's not a real smile.
What I'm saying is...
It takes 52 muscles to smile and 127,000 to frown.
What I'm saying is you shouldn't have to think. You should just be happy that they're doing that. You shouldn't have to force it.
Guys are listening.
Like someone else that we know, you feel you're better than everyone.
No, that's not true.
And they should be watching you.
I'm a big believer in being natural.
Yeah.
And I think the smiles on TV, 99%
of them. You're naturally an ass.
That is
what
true.
What I'm saying, you need to change that.
I think 99% of the smiles on TV on that kind of stuff are fake. I don't like fake, except for breasts.
I think there's nothing wrong with showing that you enjoy what you do.
It's fake.
You know. Oh, you don't enjoy what
no,
you do.
No, I do. I'm not Paul. I enjoy what I do.
So then, smile.
What?
You're smiling now.
Because I'm laughing.
And I don't see a brow furrow.
I'm laughing right now. But if I just look at the camera and go, I'm smiling, yeah.
You're a fraud.
No. Why would I be smiling when I'm breaking down the Colts game?
Because you're happy.
Why should I be smiling and smirking and happy and giddy? And
you're happy.
You know, if she wore a little bit lower cut shirt, maybe I would have been smiling.
Oh, see now.
Some guy tweets me, I just watched you with Jackie. Is it me or does she have a nice rack? I didn't respond.
No.
I didn't want it on the record on Twitter. That's out there. But yes, she has a nice rack.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you don't smile. I've done plenty of TV segments with you. You don't, like, smile into the camera. I'm just happy you guys are watching.
Well, me?
Yeah, because we're beating quick.
I don't smile.
Ratings.
I do all the time.
We smiled with Abby Chin a couple weeks ago.
Well, sure.
Same, yeah. He was looking and not at her chin.
Oh, God.
I got behind the glass. Yeah. No, I mean, you don't smile.
Yeah, sure you do.
Why?
Why not?
I smile when I'm happy, when I'm actually smiling. Not to, you know, it's so fraudulent and fake.
We're not announcing deaths.
But you didn't say
anything. Talking about football.
You didn't say anything I find this awfully hard to believe.
Very serious.
That you didn't have at least one thing that was a little, you know, sarcastic.
You were trying to be Mr. Cool with
the
girl.
So.
Absolutely.
No, I see the exact opposite.
I try not to be the fraud.
I'm going to smirk at you.
I'm Mr. Cool.
Thank you for watching me. I'm just going to give you a fake smile because I know that's what you came for.
You're Mr. Cool. You can't, you have to be behind the velvet rope. You can't, you know,
that's
be with anybody.
That's because I don't
anybody.
Like people.
You know,
that's a
it.
Separate issue.
And your disdain comes out.
No.
Yes.
In that environment, it does.
Any environment.
But when I'm talking about a serious subject, and I'm just breaking down a game. There's no need to smile, smirk, or act stupid.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about smirking or acting.
Stupid. When you're giving me pointers when we're taping our show next week, look at how many times you're smiling at the camera. Hi, camera. Thanks for watching.
See, he has to take it to the extreme. You know, he can't discuss it. You know, like a normal person, he has to, you know, take it to the extreme.
Now you got to take shots of me personally.
I do. I already called you an ass. I don't know what else I need to do.
Fred, don't address me while I'm trying to eat my cookie.
VIP.
Good cookie.
VIP stripper says Pep Hamilton made a Spygate reference.
When?
He says, quote, "I do know for a fact that it was always a 60-minute chess match," he said. "It was ever-changing looks and disguises, and they always tend to find ways to figure out some of your signals." Still, Hamilton did play Belichick is that it? That they find a way to figure out your signals?
If you are prone to seeing those things, that is certainly one you could...
Still, Hamilton did pay Belichick a compliment, saying, "It's truly an honor to have an opportunity to field the team and compete against the likes of Coach Belichick, who will go down as one of the greatest coaches in the history of the National Football League." So, that's fine.
I don't even know this, Fred. He thinks the Colts are going to win. He's okay with Spygate references from opposing coaches.
You know, it does make sense, though, that after Spygate... the Patriots try harder than ever to figure out team signals. I would. Screw them.
Screw them!
Everybody's doing it, and we're just going to keep doing it. You know, we're not going to break any rules doing it, but we're going to try like hell to get your signals.
And prove to you that we can get them without that.
Right.
I don't know. Much ado about nothing. You think they call his offense the Pep Squad?
Do they?
I don't know. They should.
Paul's
literally like sucking chocolate off his fingers right now. Jesus.
Well, I don't really understand why I was involved in that.
Deep throating your own
finger. I didn't do that. I didn't make
suck
any.
Suck the chrome off it. What do they say? Trailer hitch?
Is that right?
Suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
I didn't make any of those noises that you generally do when you think that you shut your mic off and no one can hear when you burp and fart.
Those are good cookies. I don't know why Fred has a problem with them.
I'm just—it's hard to eat. It's a pile of mush.
Use your.
I think yours is a little.
Mine didn't come out like that.
Yours is a little softer than the rest.
It's always on soft one, Paul. Mind.
Yeah, between you and
Charlie
Strong,
he's got a flaccid cookie.
You can get a hard one or a soft one.
Well, if you're Charlie Strong, if something is soft, you can make it hard.
And it goes in soft.
Can you get us that somehow? Literally, Charlie Strong at his University of Texas press conference said, if something is soft, you can make it hard.
Ross is in Canada. I'm rewatching the Colts' offensive snaps from their wild card matchup last weekend, and at no point do I see Hilton getting jammed at the line. Should we expect to see more of the same in giving a free release to their number one offensive weapon this weekend? I would think throwing off the timing would make sense. Maybe I'm oversimplistic. Love to hear your thoughts. Happy to be a forgettable frequent emailer, much better than being a memorable putz like Joel.
That's a dangerous game. He's a small, shifty, fast, quick guy. And if you miss your jam, you're taking yourself out of the play and giving him a release into some open field.
So you give him a little cushion?
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid to jam him.
I don't mind jamming him as long as I'm doubling him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's him not listening.
Should we just repeat it now or wait for him to say it in about 5 minutes? I don't mind jamming him as long as they're doubling him.
Okay.
I don't want to give him a free release if I'm doubling him.
That makes sense. Rich says, yesterday I listened to maybe 10 to 15 minutes of Rook's show. This is all I could handle after hearing PFW and feeling good for the game. And he made it like you thought we were going to win by more than 3 to 4 points. You haven't been paying attention all year. But in general, there is a huge drop-off between PFW and his show, and his assistant, Kevin, I think doesn't help in general with his monotone voice. The show is very boring. I miss Pete Shepard. It has potential, but they need help. Question for Andy. He seems to have so much energy and endless immature jokes and sarcasm on PFW, but when he's with Jackie, he seems like he'd rather be elsewhere. Is Andy camera shy, or does he think he's too good for Patriots today, or is acting like an adult? Really a struggle for him. Yes, it is a struggle for him. No, and he tries to act like, this isn't...
No, I try to act like we're shooting a stand-up that lasts, you know, 3 minutes.
People are saying that it's... to them, it comes off like you don't want to be there.
Paul, tell him what people are.
Stupid.
Thank you.
Okay. Well,
I switched midstream there. I was going to just look up and say, you don't really want to be there. I know you.
Yeah.
No, I have no problem
and
being
people,
there. Sometimes
obvious.
I don't want to be there because they have this stupid thing where you have to be outside, which I don't get. I don't know why we have to be out in the snow and the rain and the wind.
It gives people.
We're not weathermen from, like, you know, the Weather Channel. We got to, I can barely stand up because it's blowing.
Because
like, we're talking about football.
Because TV is visual and they want to put you in the scene.
I mean, I gave
it's a visual medium.
I gave our fans more credit than that. I thought they were coming there for football analysis. If you just want a boob, you know, looking pretty, then I'm not your guy. I'm not a pretty face to just throw on TV. I'm an analyst. If you want just, you know, TNA, then call Erin Andrews and have her and Jackie just go at it.
Well, they're not looking for TNA.
You're saying they want to see pretty stuff.
No,
they don't want
actual
analysis.
Someone who actually wants to be there.
I have no problem being there.
It doesn't come off that way.
Well,
so you have
to accept
that criticism.
Okay, and I'll do fake smiles from now on.
No.
You watch the next one, and you will see nothing but smiles.
You have to accept that criticism.
I've never heard of that, Governor.
Accept it. Whether you may say you in your head and you may believe I really want to be here, but you're doing something to tell people you don't. So
I don't know
why
you. I don't know why you fixate so much on the fake part of it. Like I don't understand why it wouldn't be. But I don't understand.
I don't walk around smiling all the time. I walk around smiling when something makes me smile.
What do we do on this show?
Yell at each other.
No, but there you go. Right there.
It was funny. There was something that elicited a laugh.
But
I have laughed and smiled with Jackie. We've had little jokes back and forth about stuff.
I haven't
Nothing was funny this week.
I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
Nor have I.
I know you haven't, because that's one thing that you and I have in common. Is neither one of us is an egomaniac.
Well, you
and
could.
We don't rewatch all of our things.
You
constantly.
Go to Patriots.com. You could have clicked on it. Done.
I do, but I don't go and watch 3 points with Perillo every week.
It could be for self-scouting.
I've done that. I realized I'm not really cut out for TV. You know,
I look out the same way. If you come to Paul and I, you're looking for analysis. You didn't come to see a pretty face. We're not pretty faces.
No, I don't think
Andy's being kind.
Yeah,
he's the young guy that, you know,
you're
still looks normal.
You're intentionally.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
I just people don't, aren't saying
I don't understand why in the court. Now,
like,
maybe
Doris Burke is not a pretty face. She's really good at her job.
But she
you
smiles
don't go there.
Sometimes.
No, I don't think she does.
Sure she does. My thing with you is, and maybe it was just this time. Maybe usually you have the, you know, the regular Andy banter back and forth. When you and I do things together,
well,
we're always sort of like
but I don't have
needling
same
each other and smiling and laughing about it. Yes,
I don't have
we're
the same
analyzing
rapport
the
with
game.
Her, and well, she's a woman. I feel
you,
like she needs to be deserved,
but you
treated
do.
With a little respect on camera.
You do have the same
I'm not
going to
make boob jokes.
No.
I guarantee I would have smiled
I've
had
noticed,
I said a boob
I've
joke.
I've noticed when
no.
you're with her.
But I don't think it has anything to do with
or
Jackie.
When you did anything with B-Lo, you look down on them.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Certainly not B-Lo. She's taller.
I don't think it has anything to do with Jackie.
I treat it differently. I thought
you
that
do.
Is what
That's
they,
what I'm saying. You
so
do treat it differently.
If Matt wants to come to me and say, we need a little more of the PFW Andy in these, then do it.
Well,
I didn't think
said,
that's what they're looking for.
I didn't see what this particular one. It just seems like there's a lot of different people
two.
Saying you look
two.
Like.
Not a groundswell. Two.
A lot.
Two.
A lot.
Two is not a lot.
Fred, how many? A lot of people saying. Your Twitter's blowing up, isn't
a
it?
A lot is the number of Pepsis you've had during this show,
Fred,
not two emails.
This is the second Pepsi
Come
I've
on.
Had. This is the second Pepsi I've had.
Did you refill
now,
it three
I will
times?
I will absolutely have a third. It's only 1:30.
Two people.
But I just think that when you're talking about a football game and you're breaking it down, like you keep saying,
I get a smile. Yeah, it's the funniest thing. I think Andrew Luck had that comeback last week.
He really is incapable of having a rational discussion. He has to take it to that length every time.
You're
Fred's
talking
not listening
to a wall,
to us.
You know, so you
Fred's not
either
listening
address
to us.
Me or you're talking to yourself.
I don't understand why when you're talking about a football game, why you think, quote, it's serious. It's not serious. You're breaking
it's
down a game.
It's not death serious, like that guy said, but it's not.
No, it's not a laugh riot.
Bill Belichick doesn't smile when he's talking about football games.
Again, he does.
Bill Belichick doesn't smile when he's talking about football games.
And he gets criticized roundly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I know that's how you
I
feel.
I made my point.
Really?
I am on the same level
I
as Bill Belichick.
I think you made Fred's point.
Nope. When great minds talk about football, they don't smile. Bill Belichick, Andy Hart.
Maybe
thank you.
People won't recognize you in a crowd either. You know,
I smile
when
enough.
You happen to smile.
I love how I bounce around. You know, I'm too negative, but then John Rook calls me a whatever.
You
now
clam
I'm too
up
immature.
When you're with her.
Fred,
no,
I, mean,
I clam
Andy.
Up because I think that's a more professional TV stand-up environment.
Environment?
Like,
unbelievable.
Dan writes in, I have to say I'm surprised at the level of Patriots honkism among some of these fans. We seem to have evolved beyond looking past our own opponents, but other teams' opponents as well. Why stop there? So when the Patriots play the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, how will they contain Russell Wilson in that power running game?
Well, that's what I'm worried about, the Spikes loss.
How many asterisks will Marshall Faulk put on the victory since it was the first championship played in the snow in decades, or the fact that they played a second-year quarterback in a lot of calls and got a lot of calls? How many analysts will still consider Manning to be the better quarterback even after Brady's fourth title and the most Super Bowl appearances by one quarterback? Seriously, I have all the confidence in the world that they can and should beat the Colts, but can we live in this week, please?
When was the last snow Super Bowl?
They've never had one.
They haven't?
You mean outdoors?
Well, yeah, in the snow.
No, they've never had one. It's always been in a warm weather place or indoors.
John in Maine says, Andy, don't change. I enjoy your analysis, jokes, and comments. You're the best part of the show.
Thank you.
Probably
who was that?
The worst one.
Doug in Maine.
So now we have a groundswell of support that says, don't change.
No, there's several that are saying that you were awfully dour. I think there was one with the Steelers and Vikings at Tulane in New Orleans that it was kind of rainy and cold. But it wasn't snowing or anything.
Super Bowl at Tulane?
Yeah. The first one in New Orleans was outdoors
no
at Tulane
at that
Stadium.
Point?
Yeah, the dome hadn't been
pre-dome?
Built yet. Don't ask me why it went there.
Wasn't that like a practice facility last time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, that's funny.
Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey.
What's up?
I had a quick question for you guys. Actually, two. Whose legacy is more on the line these playoffs going forward? Is it Peyton who only has one ring, or is it Brady to get that fourth and be the best ever?
Peyton by far. Certainly if he goes one and done. Now, if he advances and loses in the Super Bowl, whatever, but Peyton's legacy to me is very much
Peyton
on the line.
Is trying to get rid of something that's negative.
Eradicate the history
Brady
of one and
done. Brady is trying to confirm something that people think.
Which, like, people like me say, well, would you be happy if he had spread out his Super Bowls and his losses more? You know, if the five were evenly balanced and it was win, lose, win, lose, win. That change, you know, for Manning, you can't spread out the one and dones. He needs to get past that and win another ring.
What's up? All right. And one last question. As you guys are analysts, do you guys get rings for being, do you guys get rings, or is it just like who gets a ring if like the Patriots win the Super Bowl?
You Fred. Never know. It's season. It's Super Bowl to Super Bowl.
Fred will get one.
That's Fred's way of saying Fred.
Well, the first time the Patriots won, everybody did.
Yeah, I got
Most
one.
Most people did.
I got one like Fred did the first time. Hasn't really been the case. We got a ring in 2004, but not the same one.
Oh, so it's okay. It's just I just wanted to know. I mean, it was just a
Fred's a player.
We get a $5 gift card to the CBS scene.
You get to keep your job.
You got five?
All right, thanks, Marcus.
I only got three.
Brian is in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
It's because you're in those orgies.
Hey, guys. Trippers kind of stole my thunder in terms of the Spygate reference. I guess Shalice Manson-Young retweeted something.
Okay.
So
Fred poo-pooed that.
Did you take offense to that? I mean, was that?
I just thought it was an interesting topic. I didn't get a chance. I don't take offense to anything, really. I mean, this is the Patriots, but I mean, I just thought it was an interesting thing.
Hey, if the Patriots, from where I sit, if the Patriots are still figuring out how to steal people's signals, more power to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I mean, that's all part of the game.
That's right. There's a reason why you disguise these things, because you assume people are looking to decode them. So if you're not doing a good enough job doing it, shame on you.
Well, I guess it's more in reference of something to, like, Belichick would take offense to in that, like, I mean, you know, the whole Wes Welker foot press conference. I mean, he definitely took offense to that.
I think that was a coach-to-coach kind of respect thing. And,
yeah. I also think if he had made reference to getting your signals 17 different ways, it might be a little bit different. I'm not sure he even meant Spygate as much as he did literally they get your signals.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
He's an offensive coordinator who hasn't been in the NFL very long.
Yeah, well, regardless. So, I just want to – I know you got to do picks, Trent. So
yeah.
Let me just real quick.
Got to hurry, yeah.
I'm surprised there was no backlash for Eric's comments yesterday.
Which one?
Well, the ones at the very end. And that's where I just wanted to get your opinions, because I know this is your job. You guys do, like you were just ranting, Andy. You're an analyst. You analyze football. But football's a game, right? It's just a game. And I thought it was interesting. I thought it was actually ironic that Eric would turn around and just trivialize how being in business is, how he knew everything before being.
We didn't really have time to get into that.
That's going
to
be an off-season. Yeah, no. Brian, I'm going to promise you that is going to be an off-season topic that is going to be broached.
Yeah,
I found it some of
the, I'm calling out for the fans. I'm not really a businessman myself, but
I'm not either. But I found it one of the most ludicrous statements I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
he couldn't get into the school he wanted to get into, yet he did not learn a single thing at college. So he wasn't smart enough to get into the school of his choice, but he was smart enough to not learn one single thing in college. He already knew everything that he learned in 4 years at college, but yet wasn't smart enough to get into the school of his choice.
Yeah.
That will be broached in the offseason.
He'll be the next because it comes down to three things. That's it. Just three things.
Yeah, he needs to be taken to boot camp, broken down, and then built back up.
It's too late in life for him to be broken.
All right.
Your picks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
I got a quick, Fred, you're a businessman.
No, I'm not.
He hates business.
No, but you're kind of a businessman. You got apps, you got all this, you're finding ways to make money. Did you see the WWE is now doing a 24/7 pay-per-view channel, monthly subscription? Can you listen? Because there's math involved here.
Okay.
24/7.
And he knew I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. It's a 24/7 monthly pay-per-view type channel. $9.99 a month. You got to make a six-month commitment when you sign up.
All right.
But only $9.99 a month.
So $60.
You will. What?
You said you make a six-month commitment.
$10. Oh, okay. 60
bucks.
Yeah.
$60.
Even I got that one.
Well, I was thinking more annually. It's 120, but
right.
But included in that is all 12 WWE pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Which normally go for $34.95, $39.95, I think even up to WrestleMania, $50.
Maybe they found out in a six-month span we don't get that many repeat customers.
Because they're basically, and I'm sure it's one of those things you give a credit card and it rolls over automatically or something. They're looking to basically lock you in.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. I mean, so basically for the price of three pay-per-views or two and a half, three pay-per-views, something like that, you can get a year's subscription to all the pay-per-views and whatever else they're putting on this channel.
Yeah.
I think it's just an interesting business maneuver for them.
Yeah, it could be.
What a maneuver!
It could be they need an infusion of cash right now. You know, could be, like I said, they've done some research and they found out that in a year span, people only buy two or three, so we can afford to do that, lock them in. You know, I don't know.
I find it interesting, and I'll find it interesting, like the buys on their pay-per-views, how much they drop because people buy.
Would you ever buy a WWE pay-per-view?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
See, I would. If
you've done that before, right?
Not in a long, like high school.
I have. I've gotten them before.
Wrestling?
Not recently.
Boxing, I could see.
I considered doing it for, I'll just be honest with you.
I've done boxing, too, but not for a long
time.
Oh,
I've done boxing.
WWE is going to give you more bang for your entertainment buck as a family than a boxing match. It's hard to justify
it's
the boxing.
It's not real.
Not for me.
It doesn't matter. It's more entertaining. If you get a WrestleMania with the stars, it's an entertaining night of TV.
If you go, but I
boxing,
don't,
you don't know anybody.
I mean, I watched the Raw on
one
Monday
fight
night,
that starts at midnight.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's still real.
Is it?
The reason why I'm
is
watching.
Is it, Paul?
Yes, it is.
Donald King Jr.
Yes,
over
they
there?
Actually hit each other.
Is it
they
real?
Do. Yep.
Is it real?
They do.
They hit each other in wrestling,
they do.
Too.
They hit each other. It
they
counts.
Actually hit each other in wrestling, too.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't try to hurt each other, but they still hit each other.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
And I think boxing's as fixed as wrestling.
Well, that's silly.
Oh, I don't think it is.
I'm sure there's been cases of fixed boxing.
Oh,
in the
I'm
past.
Sure, too.
Oh,
a lot
like,
of them.
Just like this
like
point
football,
shaving in basketball
right.
and football.
Right.
A lot of them.
Right.
No, that's ridiculous to say boxing is on par with football or college football or college
well,
basketball
the
in terms of fixing. That's ridiculous.
The corruption is how they set up these matches and everything like that. But I think it's hard once you get in there. I take that back. It's not hard. But I think when you get to these big bouts, I think they're for real.
Oh, I think probably a lot of the big ones are. I think a lot of the other ones aren't.
Yeah, but I wouldn't pay for those anyway, so I don't care. You know? I used to love getting the big fights.
Me too. Oh. Well, I used to get them on my box, so that was
yeah,
what I really
but
loved.
But no, I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but that's dead and gone.
It's
that
kind
era
of,
is,
it is
dead and well,
I mean, I'm
it's
hoping
dead.
That somebody will come
right.
along and
there's
revive
a,
it.
There's one coming up. I was talking to Borges about him.
Yeah.
What was his name, Paul? The guy who's an American heavyweight, 30-0, with like 27 knockouts. Now, they're fake. He hasn't really fought anybody. You know,
right.
they're building that base.
Right.
See, that's
but
what I think is
intriguing.
The fake aspect of boxing. Not that the matches themselves are fixed. They're not really
both.
Hitting. I think they get handpicked. Well,
they are really hitting. But.
Yeah, I think they're handpicked guys. They have a guy, for whatever reason, they liked this guy. You know, he had whatever they were looking for that they could market or whatever, and they said, we're going to push this guy. We're going to handpick and get these guys that he can build up, and all of a sudden he's going to be, well, we're going to get him to the point where he's 25-0 with 23 knockouts, and he's going to be the next big thing. Then he might not be very good, but I think he actually has to beat the guys that he's fighting.
Yeah.
I just think that they know that he's going to beat the guys that he's fighting.
Yeah, because they told him, you're going down, bitch.
Yeah, I don't think that happens as much as you think it does. I'm not saying it never happened, because I think there are fixes in all sports.
All right, let's get to the picks portion of the show. It's Thursday. So we got four games coming up. But how did we do last week, Paul, before we get to this week?
Well, I'll tell you. I need to go perfect this week to get to 500.
I'll tell you, Freddie. You know what last week proved?
We don't know.
That Andy doesn't know crap football.
The regular season was a fluke.
Yeah.
For me.
For
me.
For
me.
Yeah.
I went 3-1.
You smile when you say these numbers.
Paul.
I went 3-1.
This is football you're talking about, Paul, not life and death.
Freddie went 2-2.
Are you bleeding or something? What are you doing over there?
My finger's bleeding.
Ew.
Well, your ear was bleeding the other day.
Yeah,
I know it was.
What's like? Ooh, like I'm not putting
like
my blood on you.
Yeah, but you put it on the
I'm
table.
I'm wiping it on a napkin.
I don't like blood.
This is very impressive, Fred. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Not one, but two members of our panel.
Yeah.
Managed to go winless. 0-4.
You have to really try to be that bad.
Nope, it was quite easy, actually.
Oh my God.
Andy and Eric went 0-4.
That's funny.
Just winners.
I have to give
not
you
spread.
A round of applause for that.
Not spread. Not spread now.
Right,
not by the spread.
0-4.
I was better with the spread, wasn't I?
Yes.
0-4.
Fred, you won the week with the spread, continuing your dominance. You were 2-1-1.
No one knows mediocre football like Fred.
Eric was also 2-1-1.
That's a dictator.
And Andy and I were 1-2-1.
Okay.
I got really hosed my Colts pick.
Yeah, and I was one game away from my prediction. Well, not really a prediction, but thought that all the road teams.
Yeah, when you kind of predicted it, but then didn't pick it.
Yeah,
so
it's amazing to me
it.
That you predicted that all four road
Jesus.
Teams would win,
all
and
I
then you only
is,
picked two of them.
It's possible that they could.
Cover a few more bases, Tarpy.
It's possible that they could. All right. This week, first game, I believe
New Orleans
at Seattle.
Seattle by 8.
Oh, obviously they got blowed out in their last trip to Seattle not that long ago, but they got the monkey off their back, got a win on the road. I just think that defense, too fast, too good. Get after Drew Brees. You're not going to be able to play any sort of a conservative. You're going to have to try to put up points. No, I'm taking Seattle, win and cover.
I am going to agree with Andy and take Seattle, and I'm not going to lie here. I was really swayed by listening to Jaworski talk about Brees yesterday, and I know sometimes you put too much stock into what these guys say as as analysts. But
there's a guy that smiles when he analyzes it.
Drew Brees,
to be fair.
And I brought this up about a month ago. At some point, someone's going to address this. Someone's going to look at this and see why does he not get the criticism that other guys get for not being the same quarterback outside. I never hear it. I hear the Saints are a soft team. The Saints are a dome team. They're a soft team. I don't hear Drew Brees is not the same quarterback outside of that dome.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good in San Diego.
Okay. See, it's very easy to smile when you analyze something that was analytical.
Yeah, but
Andy.
If I had said that to Jackie on camera, it would have been take another one. We can't have long pauses and cuts. And it's a different medium.
But you would have smiled, and then everybody would have said, "Oh, see, they're having fun. There's some chemistry."
I actually don't really like my smile.
I am going to take Seattle in this game because I don't think, like Andy said, that the Saints will be able to score enough points.
Jimmy Graham's soft too.
I think Jimmy Graham's really banged up.
He's such. When he has his guy, it's an excuse. But if you're
a
marquee quarterback who's one of the greatest 10 to ever play the game, he just shreds you in the postseason. Brees sucks. Brady sucks. They all suck in the postseason.
You left out Manning. I love Drew Brees.
I mean, the unquestionable top three quarterbacks in the game.
The problem with you is if you have the guy, that's it. It's this and this.
That
only.
Is not true.
I love
did
Drew
I not
Brees.
Criticize
Drew
Rob Gronkowski when he body slammed DDT'd his brother on a stage?
That's what
I
it took. That's what it took. Yes.
So I'm not, I can see the facts.
Nothing about him playing or anything. Nothing.
Drew Brees just went on the road and won in Philadelphia.
By handing the ball
off. The man his just due.
And I think that I love Drew Brees. I think he's terrific.
I can tell. Well, when are people going to criticize Drew Brees? You love Tom Brady too, right? When are people going to realize he stinks in the postseason?
Absolutely, but I want balance.
You have a tough way to show love. No wonder you swear at your kids.
You know what? It's tough love. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's balanced.
It's hate.
You look at all sides. You look at all sides. You don't just say, well, you know,
it's
Manning.
Hate.
Manning stinks. He's got 8-1 and
done.
No, you look
be
at everything.
The last one on that bandwagon.
I know. It'll be 5 years after everybody else has realized that he lost it, and then he'll be willing to say
you gave him chicken poo and he made some chicken salad this year.
Did
so
he?
I think. Excuse me?
They won games, but did he make chicken salad?
He won 12 games, had a bye, and had the second highest scoring team in the league.
Yeah. Powerhouse. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry to throw facts and numbers and details at you. I could just say he stinks.
It just depends on the day of the week.
Just say how good he stinks.
It just depends on which day we're talking, how good you think the Patriots offense is this year.
Not that great.
Okay. So say it.
But compared to
now
other
chicken
offenses,
salad, because
they were
it's
good
a different
enough.
Argument.
They were good enough, weren't they?
They were good enough to win 12 games this year.
And be the second highest scoring offense and, you know, have a bye and, I mean, what?
Do you think they were the second best offense in football?
No.
So why do you say that?
But
like,
they were this.
Because you change your argument.
Do we just piss
depending
on facts
on what,
and move past them?
Yes. When you don't agree with it? When I know you personally don't agree with it? Yes.
But I agree that I think Brady made the best of a piss-poor situation.
No, you don't think he made chicken salad
out of it.
And
I think in the middle of
difference.
The year, you saw when you gave him an actual competitive NFL weapon, the offense was good.
I think a lesser quarterback
and that's where
would
they racked up all those
wins.
Numbers.
Exactly.
So he wasn't
I
doing
don't
it.
Think there's any other way to look at
so
it,
when Gronk was playing, he wasn't doing it with chicken poop. Exactly.
Yes, he was. He had a little less chicken poop and a little more salad. There was a little balanced mixture.
Ah, see, you can't go. But I know what you think about Gronk.
I'm just telling you, nobody does it in more ways than Tom Brady. Nobody does it in more ways than Tom Brady. And you hate him, and I don't.
No, and I'll wait.
Someday I'm going to find out why you hate Tom Brady.
And you know what's going to happen? 5 years after everybody else finds out, that's when you're going to find out.
At that point, I'll be at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Yeah. So,
will you be smiling?
Learning how to speak.
Will you be smiling?
Could be an induction.
And you heard
ceremony.
And you heard that, Fred. Andy's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Right. Right.
I'm not covering it.
Wait, whoa! I didn't mean to say that.
No, that's what you said.
Jackie can go. She smiles on camera.
New Orleans
Jackie
and Seattle.
Can be on
I'll
much
take
bigger and better things by then.
I'll take Seattle both ways. I think they're going to cover. San Francisco. We're going to skip over. The Colts at New England.
We've got to give a lot of time for Fred to pick against the
8:15 Saturday night. Could be 8:25 if the New Orleans game goes a little long.
What if it goes a lot long?
We'll go to...
Couldn't it be like 10:30 if it goes a lot long?
8:27.
What if they go to quadruple overtime?
On Sunday, is San Diego the early game?
Do you get a halftime after a second overtime?
San Francisco at
Anybody?
Carolina, Paul.
San Francisco by one.
It's a tough one for me. San Francisco by one. This was a one-point game the last time they played in San Francisco.
That is correct.
I know everybody is on Colin Kaepernick. He started the year as the greatest quarterback ever. Now he's the greatest quarterback ever again. He's got Crabtree back, so the offense is fine. He is the real deal. I don't like him. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he acts. I think his throwing is overrated. The only thing he can do at an elite level is run. He is an elite runner. I agree with that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm taking the team with a good defense and the better athletic young quarterback, Cameron Newton.
Okay. I think that's a bold take.
Eric's here.
Hi, Freddy.
Will take the Niners. I think defensively they're playing at an exceptionally high level right now. Aldon Smith has been a big part of that, and they were missing him for a big chunk of the season. I think he looked dominant last week, or as Jeff Howe would say,
dominant.
So I am going to go with the Niners. I think right now they're playing a little bit better than most, and I think that they're going to be a scary, dangerous team. Although it's tough to win them all on the road.
Eric, you want to do a pick? Or you want to eat your pasta?
I'll do both.
Okay, Seattle by eight.
Nothing says live radio. Seattle like, by you want to eat or you want to take part in the show?
I'm going to take Seattle to win the game, and I'm going to take. The points, though,
okay.
I'm going to give
all right.
the
and
Saints
San
credit.
Francisco by one at Carolina.
You're going with the that. Home team because I think it's going to be Carolina at Seattle for the NFC title game.
Just a quick release. Ric Flair has said he will not be at the Carolina-San Francisco game. He actually put out a press release.
Because they won't pay for me to get there, apparently. Yeah.
Or Steve Smith might kill him if he shows up.
The funniest part of that is, as somebody who owns a Ric Flair, whatever you robe wait a minute, you own a Ric Flair robe? And when do you wear a Ric Flair robe? Like, why would you ever own one of those?
Woo!
It's ridiculous.
Maybe he was a fan.
Bet you there's sex involved. Here it comes, ladies. Woo! You put your big
it's
robe on.
It's always on his mind.
Well, at least this
maybe
time.
Maybe it should be on your mind.
No, but you're talking about guys.
No. I'm envisioning Steve Smith with a couple women. Couple. Coming out in the robe and, like, the music playing and woo!
All right, so Eric takes Carolina.
Mm-hmm. He took Carolina. I took San Francisco.
I'm going to take San Francisco.
Okay. But you are correct, Fred.
Yep.
You are not. Uh-oh, I'm aligned with Eric.
All right.
Work out last week.
Now we go to San
you
Diego
first.
At Denver.
You should go up
the number.
Because we need to go perfect to get back to 500.
Yeah, I know.
San Diego at Denver. Denver by 9.5.
Wait a minute. I thought 9.5. Oh, yeah, that was maybe.
9.5.
I'm going to take the Broncos to win. Is that a slip? That man is
just
slip.
Horsing around.
Oh!
They wear orange, and I like orange. And I don't know why,
well,
and
I
know this isn't the cool thing in Patriots Nation. I root for Manning. I just don't want him to be a guy that he went 9-1 and duns, and he's not that good. And that's not fun to me. I want the Brady-Manning rivalry to be as good as possible. And the best way for that to happen is for him to win and Brady to win, and they put another chapter together in an AFC title game. And I also don't think that the Chargers are very good. I think they're limited. As a football team, I'm just going to take that offense.
They're feisty.
They are feisty.
The Chargers are a lot like the Colts.
Yes. But you know who the Broncos are a lot like? A really good offense that can score a lot of points. And I'm going to say they come out and it's 21-0 before Philip Rivers can yell at his first teammate and boom, it's over.
I'm just remembering last year when a not very good Ravens team went to Denver and people said, there's no way. They have no chance. They're not going to go in there and do anything. And I said, you know what? I have a gut feeling. Ravens are going to pull that one out, and they did. They ended up, as we know, going on and winning the Super Bowl.
And no one has gotten more mileage out of one pick than Eric Scalavone.
not true. 2002
true.
Tampa Bay Bucks. Andy Hart
but
got way more mileage
is,
out of that.
Does Denver remember that game from last year?
I think they remember it, but they still have Peyton Manning at quarterback. Half the time that means one playoff game and done, and I think the Chargers are playing a lot like the Ravens from last year. So, Freddie, it might be the last time we do it this year, so I'm just going to have to say...
Woo! Wow! San Diego, Super Chargers. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I got the Broncos.
What?
I got the Broncos.
Both ways.
Yeah.
I'm with Paul. I respect what the Broncos have done this season, what Manning has done. I think they're just going to pour it on this weekend.
I like my chances if Manning plays the way he did against Baltimore last year. Let's put it that way.
You know, and this sets up the scenario for many of, you know, the Patriots games against Manning, where coming into the game, Manning had just been lights out,
yep.
And the Patriots figured out a way to stifle him.
Yep.
So I will go with Denver both ways.
So should we bank on some snow in Denver a week from Sunday? Because that's usually part of the Patriots defense,
maybe,
too.
Maybe, yeah.
And just if you really are looking for that much, it's not. It's like 43, 45 degrees, decent weather for the 10-day forecast,
okay.
Or whatever it is.
So now we get to Saturday night at 8:15.
Breaking news, by the way, small earthquake in New Bedford, 1.9 on the Richter scale.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got. We don't have earthquakes around here that often. I think it's kind of cool.
Actually, we have more than you think.
Sorry, I farted.
The place
that would
where
be
they...
Andy.
The place where they monitor the earthquakes is out of Weston, Mass. And
that's what it actually said in the little thing I was reading.
Yeah. They actually detect more than you would think. So, all right.
Patriots by 7.5.
Patriots by 7.5.
As I've said all week, I think the Patriots will roll as much as they can roll in this game. It's not going to be 52-7 because they're not capable of rolling 52-7 against almost anybody. But I think they will control this game pretty much from start to finish. As I said earlier, I give a lot of the edges to the Patriots. Pretty much how I look, wherever I look at a matchup, I feel pretty good about the matchup from the Patriots' perspective. I'm going to go 27-14 Patriots win this football game.
Okay.
I am less confident in the Patriots' chances as my colleague over here, but I do still think the Patriots have at least one more game in them, and it's going to be a close one, just like it's been for almost every game this year. 24-20.
Oh.
Patriots,
okay.
Who will then host the AFC Championship game the following
week. All right. That would be great.
Has anyone ever gone 0 for the postseason?
You guys are on track.
I'm rooting for you.
You know what he did there, because I picked the Patriots. And he doesn't.
Can anything ever just be left quiet?
And he doesn't want to go to the Super Bowl. You know how hard that is for Paul when he goes to the Super Bowl.
Ass. I am also going to take the Patriots. And like Eric said, I'm a little less confident in that than Andy is, but I am going to lay the points because I think they're going to just barely squeak out a cover and win 31-23, which is a half a point cover,
right,
with the 7.5. So I just feel like they have the momentum at home. They're rested. They got a little more going for them right now than Indianapolis. If this was, you know, like a neutral site, equal rest, I might be willing to say I think the Colts can come in here and win. You know, come to the, you know, and beat the Patriots. Right. But I think the home field where the Patriots are very comfortable, 8-0 this season, I think that's enough. And I think maybe a late mistake by the Colts, you know, a fumble or something in the, you know, possibly wet conditions here in Foxborough might allow the Patriots to get some separation and they win.
I'm picking the Patriots, but I am going to take those points. I think the Patriots win by 5. So what, rather than a late score by the Patriots, it's the Patriots holding off luck from the end zone.
Oh, my goodness. The scenario that Fred is unfolding.
Yeah.
I'll be inconsolable.
It's the Patriots holding off luck, he needing a touchdown to win, and they stop him.
Luck runs out.
Luck runs out.
So he's driving down 5 for the chance to take the lead?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to get the paddles out for you.
High drama.
And evidently, for the first time in his young career, he's going to fail in that situation.
Colts take over with 2:31 left on the clock.
At what yard line?
Down by 5. It's a 20.
Oh, okay. Traditional.
Did you ever see anybody predict more 5-point games in the NFL than Fred?
And the Patriots hold them. I'm not saying it comes down to the last second. They might hold them and then run the clock out. But it's going to be a 5-point differential at the end of the game.
And we can use our luck off cover?
Yeah. And I think in terms of scores...
Apparently not.
I'm looking at the Patriots offense being fairly productive. 35-30, 34-29, that 55-50. That type of range.
Huh.
Yeah. So
they're ready to score some points. They did it last week in a dome. They're ready to do it outside in the rain.
So that's what I'm saying.
Indy, rained I have a party in. Gift
so it me. Is going to be it's going to be a fingernail biter, everyone. So get ready on the blog. I don't want people jumping off the bridge early when, you know, the defense gives up an early score.
Wow.
Jump off the bridge later.
Yeah.
Don't jump off the bridge.
That's what happens.
Early.
You know, as soon as the other team scores, it's over.
Yeah. Well, you're a little bit like that, too.
No, oh, that other game's going to go.
We hear you. You can pretend on, you know, typing things out that you're all sane.
I never give up.
No, but you're sighing and breathing.
Every game starts the same way. Andy and I laugh for about a quarter and a half, and we get to the end of the second quarter, early third. If the sighs are still coming, Andy and I look at each other and say, we got to ixnay on the eye, say. Because it gets to a stage in the game where it actually is possible they could lose, and the sighs just become anger and...
Well,
let's just stay
if
away.
If we weren't in a press box, it would be a lot worse. It'd be a lot worse.
And we did that this year in Houston. Remember
walls being that punched and you know all kinds.
We
of
had
stuff.
When we had the GM's booth to ourselves.
It took a long time though before I realized I can do whatever I want in here.
We said that at the beginning of the game.
So I didn't take my pants off until halftime.
Exactly what I was just going to say. Until after he had that corn dog.
After you got a few cocktails in him.
Those corn dogs were
you had a what
awful.
In his tail?
I had one bite and threw them out. They were terrible.
Cocktails in them.
The dog wasn't cooked inside the corn.
They're always
you know, if something is soft, it can always be, you can get it hard.
That's your guy. That's your guy, Rook. If something is soft, you can get it hard.
He's Texas Strong, baby.
Yeah.
Viagra should call him. I mean, he should be the endorser for Viagra. If something's soft, you can get it hard.
John Rook's here. John Rook's here.
Fred, I share your pain with the uncooked corn dog.
Yeah.
That's really not very fun to do.
Literal, huh? Literal pain?
One minute, evidently, till the PFW in progress bashing session.
Right.
From what we understand.
We understand from our listeners.
The listeners.
When we left, you know, you everyone said that if you want pom-poms, listen to PFW.
Well, but especially
if you want balanced analysis, listen to the playbook.
That's what everybody says?
No, that's what
You guys said.
That's what we say?
Yeah. That's what they said that you said.
I don't think so.
That's what they said that you said.
I don't
said.
Think
said
so. You were ripping
you
us.
You said you knew that you said.
Well,
said.
I rip you all or anyway.
Oh, I know.
I mean, but that's fine because you guys rip me, so that's okay. That's what we do.
That's what I said.
We rip each other.
It's true. We had talked about it, and they said, you know, evidently they were ripping us in the playbook. I go, well, that's fair.
I love how,
we rip them.
I love how your listeners tattle. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, they want
they tattle.
Fights.
It's
like my son, my younger son, TJ. I can't get him out of it.
He tattles. I'm going to slam dance butt naked with a porcupine and then go
through
that again.
Everything that his older brother does, he tells me.
I forgot that one. When was that one?
Slam dance naked with a porcupine?
I would rather slam dance butt naked with a porcupine than go through that again.
Wow.
I don't remember how many years ago that was, Kev.
Was that a Texas
coaching
change?
No idea, no recollection of ever saying that. I might have been.
Drunk on the air.
I might have been.
Scotch deep.
No, it's 25-cent tequila
shots. You sounded
like,
you got to
remember very early.
Like Dan Rather during the, when was it, the 2001 election occurrence?
Oh, God,
remember?
He was, yeah.
That was right. That was right. But you got to remember, in the very early days of Patriots.com radio, we were talking to ourselves.
Right.
So that may have been,
not Fred and I, maybe some other shows. Fred and I had an immediate audience.
Oh, of course you did.
All right, well, the playbook's up next, and then
by the way, Fred.
Football Nation at Fort what?
I haven't listened since.
What do you got, Kevin?
I was down at PC last night with John.
Providence College, for those.
I'd never seen this before, but Rook was inundated pregame with people asking for his autograph.
Oh, sure.
Because of playbook.
That's not right.
No,
was it because of playbook?
Yes. It was
actually, that is right. Yes.
Wow. That's
that right there is a commentary on PC basketball, ladies and gentlemen.
The Georgetown
big win over play-by-play
announcer,
last night.
Rich Shavakin has been the Georgetown play-by-play announcer. He's a good friend of mine. He's been there for 43 years. One of the longest running radio, you know, guys in college that I know of. And he says he has a buddy of his who listens to Patriots.com. Radio, and in particular the playbook, regularly
That's
in Washington
great.
D.C. And
That's
when he said awesome. I was going to have dinner with the voice of the Patriots and the Friars, the guy went, you know, said, well, I got to get an autograph.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, you know, wow, that's really cool. So
awesome
Ernest,
sauce.
Ernest, if you're listening, I'm flattered and very humbled.
That's
all
pretty
right.
Cool, though. Well, you've got John, Rook, and Eric all to yourselves for the next 2 hours. As for us, pregame social at 6 o'clock Eastern. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.